You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. It's Wednesday night, and we're thrilled to have Brandon C. Price riding sidecar tonight. Hello, sir. How are you doing?
I'm wonderful. How are you, Patty?
I'm good. You weren't here last week, so I haven't had a chance to tell you about a new Wednesday night segment.
Oh, good. Should you just surprise me?
No, it's fine. I could surprise. No, I think the people should know because maybe they want to know what's on the show too.
That's valid.
So we have we're gonna chat about a lot of things in Chicago, in particular Rahm Emanuel accusing the Chicago public the teachers of being the problem now that the state and the city has done their part, and now they have to step up, which is kind of dicey. I don't know if you know that Governor Blagojevich was
non-sentenced.
Exactly. Because some of the charges were dropped and the judge was like, tough.
Yeah, 9 charges of corruption for me personally is enough to for you to stay in jail.
And a lot of people have mixed emotions about that. So we're going to talk to an attorney. We talked to attorney Rich Lincoln about that.
Mr. Lincoln.
As well as we had a lot of things to talk to him about. There's also, do you know that there's a new Girl Scout cookie flavor coming out?
They haven't replaced Samoas, have they?
They have not replaced. Okay. They're adding.
Cool, then that's fine.
I don't know if I can do with more choices. Because what I do whenever I see the Girl Scout, we'll talk about that at 1:30, mm-hmm. but I just do one of each. And then the ones I love, I do 2 of those.
Right.
If you add more, that means I have to order 2 more boxes. Esmeralda, how do you do Girl Scout cookies?
Thin Mints.
That's it.
Thin Mints.
Thin Mints.
Your tagalongs do not get the respect they deserve in the Girl Scout cookie world. I'm just throwing that out there. You put a Samoa in between 2 tagalongs.
Mm-hmm.
That's life right there.
That is life right there. I haven't had that life, but I think I need to have that life.
Live your dreams, Patty.
I like that very much. We also have some guests coming in from Nerdfest.
Oh, cool.
Cody Melcher will be here.
Oh,
along
excellent.
With, I believe, I'm not sure. We had a little bit of a confusion. I took the night off last night just because have you ever hit a wall? And you just go, you know what? To save myself, mm-hmm. I'm going to go ahead and just go, tonight's not the night.
I definitely understand that.
This felt like a week of nope. And nope happened yesterday. So I went to go see RoboCop. Nick DiGilio has a movie club.
The original one or
the
new one?
Original okay. one. Have you seen it recently?
The old one? No, yes. I've seen the new one. But
oh, it's so funny.
Still holds up?
Oh, not even just holds up. I think it's better now than it was in 1987.
Because it's a parody of the 80s in a way?
No, it's actually a lot of the things have come to fruition as far as militarizing the police departments and
like Star Trek.
Corporate sort of greed.
Predicts the future.
It's really good. It's gorier than we saw the unrated version, which I highly recommend.
Yeah, I didn't know that was available.
There's a little more nudity and violence.
I'm gonna get in on that.
You got to get in on that.
More RoboCop nudity.
Well, there's a scene at the beginning of the movie where all the cops are getting changed. Esmeralda, have you seen RoboCop?
I haven't.
Oh, I don't want to ruin anything for you then.
It's fine.
Okay.
I'll forget.
He's a robot and a cop, Esmeralda.
What?
As you know, we often have the Marines on. Every month we have Semper Film, and we have the Marines on. And I talked to them about their basic training and that they separate men and women. And yet after once they graduate and aren't recruits anymore, they're integrated, men and women. And, you know, there's a resistance. They're like, well, for training, you know, we find that it works. So in RoboCop, I didn't realize this when I first saw it, the female and male police officers all have the same locker room, and it's not like a big deal, like no one's hooting and hollering or anything. Mm-hmm. You just see women, taking off their shirts and men taking off their pants, just getting dressed, getting
people
ready for
just
work.
Working.
And when is this
working.
Supposed to be?
You know what's interesting about
the future?
It is the future, but I don't know, because I'm not sure.
In the future, we won't care.
We won't care. I like that.
Yeah,
is
nice.
Or at least people who are trained to do a job won't care. Do you know what I mean?
That's even better. I feel better now.
It just struck me. I hadn't even thought of that. I was, young when the movie came out. I didn't get a lot of those elements. So I highly recommend watching RoboCop, unrated version of it.
Done.
I really enjoyed it.
I will legally find that online somehow, I'm sure.
Yes, I encourage that. It is the policy of WGN Radio to encourage legal viewing mm-hmm. of any and all sort of consumable entertainment. I also, so here's the new segment that I haven't told you about yet. So as we in the past, every time a story comes up that involves Donald Trump, we talk about it. Says something outrageous, we talk about it. And I'm also watching some of the Facebook comments. Do you ever see this, Esmeralda, on the WGN Facebook page? There are people who are very disappointed in the station. They feel that there's a leaning toward too much anti-Trump talk and that we do it all the time. So I've limited it to one segment once a week on Wednesdays. And it is called, as named by our very own Esmeralda Leon. Do you remember? It's Trump Trackers.
I remember that fateful day.
It's Trump Trackers, named by Esmeralda Leon. So we actually are asking listeners to submit clips. And we haven't really gotten, since we just started it, mm-hmm. No one sent me any clips. yet, but I think that Donald Trump has submitted a lot of his own moments this week.
Yeah, the Donald doesn't need your help making headlines.
I know, but I figure if there's something listeners really want us to talk about.
Valid.
So we also have on Thursdays then Hillary's Hurlers.
Oh,
so,
cool. We do, thank you.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm. But it has to be that week. So you can't tell me again, Benghazi.
Oh,
it can't
right,
be the
right,
emails.
Right.
Today it can be the emails because there were more released and we can talk about her response to that. So that counts. Mm-hmm. But if it continues to be what she said about Benghazi because she was responding to intelligence from the CIA.
Right. Let's not beat a dead horse.
The horse. Oh, that horse, man. I mean, like unrecognizable
at
this point.
Not much of a horse left.
No. So that's at midnight. We have our Trump trackers at midnight.
Cool.
And we'll talk about all things Trump for just a little bit and then move on. That's I can't do it anymore. People are going nuts. There is actually an article in the New York Times about how he is making it hard for journalists to be unbiased because it's so sensational. And like sometimes you don't have to comment on it if you just play it. That's what people on this show, they get mad that we are harping negatively on Donald Trump. Sometimes we just play the stuff he says and we talk about it. If he didn't say crazy things, we wouldn't say that he was crazy. Do you see how that works?
Yeah, I get you.
Yeah, so I think that's kind of what I'm not a journalist. I am a talk show host.
Yeah.
And so we sort of work on our opinions. And I'm always coming up with my opinion as I'm talking.
Yes, you're always very open-minded, as editorial as a talk show in general is.
If we could say that, I guess I'm open. I'm open to the conversation and other
You've
opinions.
Never yelled at me for feeling very different than you, and that's what
no.
I think open-mindedness is.
Oh.
You know,
oh.
Not me personally, the royal you and the royal me.
The royal, yes, I like being the royal you and me. How was your trip home? We didn't have you last week because you went to...
It was great. Margaret and I drove down and it's about a 12-hour drive to Alabama, but we took probably a 20-hour drive. We went through all the mountains in Kentucky and the Cumberland Gap and all those things and saw all the pretty things, which was really excellent. On the way home, we stopped by the Huntsville Space and Rocket Center.
Oh, cool.
Which she, like, you know, very, like, I'm probably the bad one of the two of us, but she pulls out, it's like $40 each. I'm like, man, I don't know if I want to do that. She pulls out her museum campus pass from here.
Yeah.
Like, and goes up to the lady and just is like, here you go, hands it to her like it's nothing. And the lady's like, I'm sorry, I don't think we take this. And she goes, that's so weird. Honey, didn't this work last week? And then they just threw it to me. I was like, oh, improv, cool, I'm in. And I was like, yeah, totally. I mean, oh, we can go back to the car and see if we've got another ticket stub or whatever. And the lady's like, oh, well, no, that's okay. Just come on in. And two examples. One, Margaret's awesome. And two, the South is such a nicer place to be.
I can
Everyone
see
is
that.
Just, she had never experienced the South at all. So when we were in rural Alabama, so I took her fishing and all the good stuff like that. And we got to spend some time with my family, which was the point of the trip initially and very nice.
And where's Margaret from originally?
Crystal Lake, Arlington Heights.
Well,
there.
When you say that the South is a nice place to be, a girl who's grown up on the North, you know, in the northern suburbs, mm-hmm. clearly has developed that skill for a reason, is what I would imagine.
Oh, okay.
So it has to have worked here in order for her to have done it so deftly in Alabama.
I assume. It's not a comment on her.
Because you haven't
negatively.
Tried it here.
It's
no, not her.
Just, yeah, you know what I mean?
No, you were, but I said it was so nice to be in the South because this woman at the museum not fell for it, but was accommodating.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, I believe that museum passes, like I have a Museum of Science and Industry pass here, and they do have relationships across the country.
Yeah, I'm 90% sure that was not what was happening here. maybe it was, but maybe I'm just quick to want to have had Margaret pull that bit.
And no, she definitely did because the woman seemed as though she was going to. It was going to be no.
Yeah,
and Margaret
seemed like it was not like what was supposed to happen.
I'd be curious what it would be like here. Someone would just give you a stink face and
yeah,
be like, no.
Absolutely. Go away.
Now I have to try.
Well, now in this example, though, that's the person doing their job. So I don't want to call Yankees or Southerners out for that. But Yankees are ruder people. And it's not a bad thing. It's not a negative thing. It doesn't come from people being worse or better. It's just in speech. That's just how it is.
I know that we are technically Yankees to you. I don't think we think of ourselves as Yankees.
Midwesterners seem to be confused about where they lived 150
years ago. Do you find that Midwesterners in general, we don't consider ourselves to be Yankees?
Yes. There's a difference between like East Coast yacht person or like Jersey Shore person or like Chicago, Michigan person, but you're all different
Yankees.
in a way that we can put you in one group.
Mm-hmm. All right, then.
Yep.
I think it knows no gender, race, or age. We need a third category. I think Cornville.
Californians is the third category.
California, that's it? California gets a whole third category?
We like them less than we like y'all.
You like them less than us?
Yeah, I mean, that's how I was raised.
Okay. I accept that as a final answer. More when we come back. We're going to talk about the Gabby. Have you heard about Gabby Douglas being accused of not being patriotic because she didn't put her hand on her heart during the national anthem?
I did not.
So let's talk a little bit about this. Everybody, I'm sure, has an opinion who has heard about this story or has talked about it. I want to see what you think. 312-981-7200. During the national anthem of winning their gold medal, the women's gymnastic team was all lined up. And they met, all the girls had their hands over the heart during the playing of the national anthem, and Gabby Douglas did not. And she said that she was very emotional and didn't consider it to be something that was a slap to the United States. So I want to see what people think. 312-981-7200. We want to talk to you when we come back. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, and we've been talking a little bit about the Olympics throughout the week. I haven't watched a lot of the Olympics. Have you had a chance to tune in?
I've only seen – I'm a big Michael Phelps fan just because you're Tiger Woods fan, you're a Michael Jordan fan. When people own what they do that hard and are just undisputably the greatest, that's something you're going to have to tell the next generation about. You have to watch that. So I've been watching Michael Phelps highlights, but Margaret wanted to watch women's volleyball, so I did that a little bit, but I haven't watched enough. I haven't watched
enough
to consider myself patriotic, and that's a shame.
I don't know. Do you have to watch the Olympics to be patriotic?
I think it's a big part. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think it's a good part of globalization. You know what I mean?
Yes, it is. As a kid, I grew up watching, like, doing handstands and cartwheels during the women's gymnastics, and when I would swim, I was never a strong swimmer, but I would still, I would imagine myself cutting through the water.
Right.
I was a softball player, but I was never because it was not a sport really until I was much older. So I didn't train like it was something I could ever do at that level. It was just kind of, I'll be as good as I can for here. Mm-hmm. I wasn't like a 3 hours a day kind of a softball player. But when the women's softball team, and it's gone again now, but it was so exciting. That was one of my favorites. And the women's soccer teams. And
man, that's a whole story in itself. How just what a juggernaut our soccer team is. And then the whole like pay scale issues and stuff.
Right.
That's a whole nother fun hour of radio we could do. Yeah. But yeah, they're incredible. They're incredible. And then Hope Solo have played that position for so long. And again, undisputedly the best keeper in the world. That's just nuts.
It is nuts. And some of the greatest athletes in the Olympics right now are also the women's Olympic team. I mean, gymnastics team. And they kicked butt yesterday, though they continue to. And during the national anthem, as they were getting their gold medals, Gabby Douglas did not show what many assumed to be appropriate reverence, right? I guess that's the idea. Jimmy, you have thoughts on this when it comes to the national anthem? How you doing, Jimmy? Northside Jimmy?
Oh, pretty good.
Hey.
Yeah, how I was raised, the only requirement when the national anthem is being played is that you are to take your head covering, your hat off. Putting your hand on your heart is totally optional.
Oh, I've always thought the hand over the heart was for the Pledge of Allegiance. And I don't remember ever doing.
Right.
Yes.
Exactly.
You stand and take off your hat for the national anthem. I agree. That's the way I was. And I don't know. I mean, it's not as though that's something you would practice as an athlete and go, so what do we do? And maybe, but you know what? I'll bet you now, don't you think, Jimmy, that they will go through that with all athletes and go, hey.
The PR person is having a day right now.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, I'm with you, Jimmy. That was my understanding of the national anthem.
Right. You see some ball players like to put their hand over their heart, but it's really unnecessary. It's just as long as you take your hat off, you're within the guidelines.
Right.
You won't get kicked out of the country.
Right. Wait a minute. Is that a possibility for other things?
Yeah, you didn't hear Trump's economic speech today where if you don't take your hat off, you're out?
Yeah, I mean, something like that. As long as it's Make America Great hat again.
Yeah, the trucker hat.
Thank you, Jimmy. Have a great night.
All right.
Hey, wait, hold on a second, Jimmy. I've got a pizza to give you Oh, no, Jimmy left. Oh, I didn't grab him fast
enough. Free pizza for us.
Free pizza for... No. If Jimmy calls back, he gets a pizza. All right, then. There, Sean. I didn't grab him fast enough because I have some... I'm leaving tomorrow, and I know I can leave them for the other host, but, like, this is my audience.
No, you give out your stuff.
They can have some of the stuff to give out. But I am. I'm leaving tomorrow for Philadelphia, and I'm taking my family to see Independence Hall and... where the Declaration of Independence was signed, kind of the birthplace of our country. I also think of Boston as being such a primary part of that.
Yeah, they're both. I think both. I mean, Philly. Which one was the original capital? Was it Philly? Was the original capital?
Yeah, and there were big votes. There was a lot of debate about where the capital should be.
Yeah,
and part of that really was to appease the South. was why it's in Washington, D.C.
Don't look at me like that. We're half the country.
I know. I don't know. Are you half the country? I'm just teasing. No, because there was obviously, you know, the decision was whether it was Philadelphia, if it was Boston, New York, or somewhere in the South. I don't know what the other options were.
Virginia was the argument. I think that's why D.C. ended up being a thing.
Yeah. D.C. is such a cool town. Have you been to Washington, D.C.?
Yes, I have.
Oh, the energy. It's palpable of how much power there is there.
It's intimidating. I don't know. I wonder if that's just from, like, my perspective personally, because I have, you know, I have absolutely nothing to do with the governmental world other than voting and complaining. So when everyone's walking around and, like, anytime I see a person in, like, a nice suit walking down the street, I'm like, oh, they're so important, probably. And so, like, that's, like, that times a trillion.
They do sort of carry them with, you know, this personality of this presence and confidence and owning it.
As a politician, you're a product. You're a brand that you have to sell anyway, so you better have good posture.
That's a good point. I've got to work on
everyone
my posture.
Everyone can see you.
Yeah. I'm going to sit up straight. They also, the women in D.C., it's amazing how much heels are part of power suits. Like the
Like
really
a
high
choice
heels.
To be taller and
well,
more.
You know, when I want to make a presence, I don't wear heels as much as I used to, only when I have to, like, make a statement. Sean's looking up like, when do you wear heels? Do you guys prefer women in heels? Is that... Or do you, Sean, you can be honest.
I think it depends on their height.
Okay.
Right?
That's valid. If you're dating someone your size, there's something to be said about that men's mentality of like, oh, you're taller than me, huh?
Oh, do you have that moment of women being taller?
I mean, generally, I think we're both fairly tall human beings in the world, Sean. But yeah, that's happened to me before. It's not a huge deal, but if you're going to ask me my terribly chauvinistic opinion, yeah, you can stay in flats.
Our butts look better, don't they, Esmeralda? Is that what it is?
Oh, are you kidding me? Legs look amazing. Mm-hmm. It's like a workout in a shoe.
I don't ever want anybody to be unnecessarily uncomfortable because of the way they think that I might be looking at. You know what I mean?
It's not for you.
Well, good. Then that's the whole thing.
Because you feel
great.
Better?
You do it for you.
And then, of course, fashionably speaking, if you're going out on a date, I mean, if the heels make the legs and the skirt look amazing.
Yeah.
It's a good thing for you as the guy.
Yeah, everybody wins.
This is an issue. There are outfits that just don't look right with flats. Would you say, Esmeralda?
Yeah.
They just don't.
Absolutely. And I will suffer.
For a good-looking outfit?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also, the best part, and probably when they're walking around in Washington, the click-clack. That
yes.
is my favorite. I love to walk behind people because then they look behind themselves, kind of weirded out.
Right, what's coming up on me?
And I'm like, yeah, I'm
just
coming
listening
through.
To your shoes.
But when you wear heels with a business suit,
yes,
the oxymoron comfortable heels
yes.
comes into play, right?
Yes.
Does that actually exist?
That's a good question.
Comfortable heels?
I think it depends, right, Esmeralda?
Yeah, there's a shorter heel that all the weight of your body weight will be spread throughout. And I like to wear wedges, and those aren't as awful.
I agree.
Of a heel in terms of pain.
Man, I've got my main pair of boots is like, it's probably got an inch and a half cut on it. And I mean, they're wooden cowboy boots, but I won't ever wear them when I know I have to walk here, because after about few blocks, just on concrete, not on like soil or anything, it's just like, man, this is terrible. And then I sympathize and then I go back to my life.
Same thing for you. What boots you got that are? Do you have cowboy boots?
I'm really not a boot guy.
Right, but you have shoes that have a little bit of
dress shoes.
Oh, a little bit higher.
Some of those shoes can be really uncomfortable.
Well,
so
men's dress shoes don't seem to have a lot of support. Like they're very thin. It's just that leather.
Pretty much none at all, unless you have some nice Oxfords.
Right.
Some of those have good support, but other than that, yeah.
Brandon, do you have a pair of dress shoes? One pair of dress shoes.
And they're my show shoes. cowboy boots are dress shoes. Like, if you're going to a wedding or you're going to church, that's what you dress up with. They're beautiful.
I'm asking Sean off the air. I'm like, what? Who's up in news? Because I can't tell from the camera.
It's Veronica.
Veronica Carter. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm very well. It's good to see you tonight.
Yeah, I'm usually asleep by this time.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's a little bit disorienting sometimes, isn't it?
It is. It is, because I did mornings for like a lot of years, and so it's just like my clock is flipped.
Oh dear. What's the plan for sort of recovering from a night like tonight?
Oh, just lots of coffee tomorrow. That's it.
Oh boy. Mm-hmm. I know. I'm already plotting it out. Like I have a flight at 7:45.
Ooh. Ouch.
And I'm flying with. So Sean is shaking. Okay. Here's something. I have to always catch first flights out. It's just a habit of mine, earliest, because if anything happens with the weather or the tech aspect, especially as we've seen with Southwest and with Delta, then I have the option of hopefully catching something along the way.
Like right, but if you're later on the last one, then there's nothing left, and
you have no choices, yeah, and you go home and go back to bed.
Mm-hmm. I like the cheapest one.
The cheapest one?
That's usually my plan, too. Yeah.
Those are often the first flights out. First flights and red eyes are often very inexpensive.
Definitely.
Red eyes out of L.A. are, you can get a first class seat for about $200. About $219 sometimes.
You know, I've never priced the first class, but that's pretty close.
It was fantastic.
I could live that life.
I just thought I'd check it out. I was like, it was like $80 more than an economy. And I thought, why would I do that? Why would I not just, got to do that.
Chicago taxpayers have stepped up to be part of the solution. The state of Illinois, for the first time, has stepped up to be part of the solution. The central bureaucracy, in the sense of its fat, has stepped up to be part of the solution. And I think the teachers should be part of the solution in not only stabilizing their finances, but strengthening our classroom.
It's Rahm Emanuel demanding that the Chicago Teachers Union do their part to avoid a strike. And he was addressing the fact that the city has done their part, he says, which I believe he must mean raising property taxes, and that the state of Illinois has done their part, which I guess he means taking a long time to pass a temporary budget that doesn't really pay for everything that needs to be paid for. So I'm not sure. So if he's trying to say we've done our crappy jobs, why don't you do a crappy job is what it sounds like more to me. That's what I hear. Brandon C. Price and I will talk a little bit more about how we hear things differently. The mechanism of the ear seems to be constructed exactly the same for each of us, and what happens in between the two of them is a mystery.
Yeah, to everyone, always.
Yeah, he is. Now, I don't know how much you know the history of Chicago teachers in our relationship with the city. So
I've been here for 5 years. It seems like it's going really well.
Has that been your sense of it?
It's that one of those couples, it's when they're in the room, mm-hmm, you're like, oh, I'm so glad you guys are here. And they're like, oh my God, I can't believe they're still together.
Yes, that's exactly what it's like. I'm a product of Chicago Public Schools. I started from kindergarten until sixth grade. I got out for three. I got out.
They pulled me back in.
I went running for my life. I left for 3 years because I was attending a school where it was hard to control, to manage bullies. And my parents chose to withdraw me from the situation. And I went to a Lutheran school for 3 years, which I loved. Our Savior, Norwood Park on the Northwest side. And what was hard about that was I'd come from a school where there was a lot of fighting and I was picked on and beat on, that when I was someplace where that wasn't happening, I was kind of a mean kid. Like, I had all this rage and there wasn't anybody to be mad at. So memories that people have of me are not the best, I would say, and I regret a lot.
I think anyone who's not a reflection of who they were in high school is doing well.
I think you're right. Oh, and then high school, I went to Lane Tech. Sean, are you from Chicago originally? Because I know that Esmeralda's from Joliet.
Southside all day.
So CPS as well?
Morgan Park High School.
Did you have any strikes in your entire education experience?
I think we had one.
One? So one. When you were little, probably. Little or at the end?
No, I think I was in my freshman year of high school.
Okay. Because during Daley's administration, there were very few.
Mm-hmm.
And that was in part because of sort of this tenuous agreement that they had. And part of that also then led to the mismanagement of pension funds and a lot of the chaos we have now. But when I was a kid, there was a strike almost every other year. I had friends who withdrew their kids. And that's how I ended up at Our Savior, was other friends had fled Onahan. And they wanted to get away from the mystery of not knowing whether or not your school was going to open. When I was in, I don't know if I was in a freshman or so, there was a strike that lasted to the middle of October. So anybody who was in high school at the time that was maybe a senior applying for scholarships, if they were athletes, done. There was not, I mean, like, it was already too late for, like, football players and swimmers to try to get.
Wow. As a burnout, I heard that. I was like, oh, that's so awesome. But then, like, oh, like, I guess people do, like, have futures and stuff.
Well,
jeez, that's crazy.
Well, then you had to make it up. We went to school all the way to almost July 1st, the end of June. And I went to a school with no air conditioning.
Gosh, poor parents trying to figure out, like, what am I going to do with these 15-year-olds?
And that's what I think it comes down to, are the parents, the teacher, the kids. Obviously, the teachers there are so many teachers that bend over backwards, that really tie themselves in knots, making sure that their kids have, their students have everything that they need. Parents who have to manage how they're going to get their kid to school in the first place. I mean, the way Steve runs it, my husband has to take care of, like, making sure that one kid gets driven to school, that he's still there for the bus. And mm-hmm. And that's like a simple sort of scenario compared to what a lot of other people go through.
Right.
So I don't know. Rahm has Rahm actually, when he came into office, one of the things he did initially with the state of Illinois was make it harder for teachers to strike. He increased the percentage of teachers that had to vote for a strike in order to sort of block that, thwart that that possibility. But what he ended up doing was actually consolidating opinion against him, and they did continue to vote for strikes after that. More so, they would go past the number, the required number.
I mean, is that their only weapon? No judgment about what's happening yet, because we haven't gotten deep enough into it for me to form an opinion. But is that, like, as a teacher, I understand, okay, great, they spent all your pension money to, you know, temporarily deal with your salaries and school funding, and now it's like, oh, sorry, you're totally screwed.
Right.
Can you, as a teacher, is there anything else, any other recourse do you think they could take that would have an effect besides striking? And does striking
work? They've tried suing. What else do you have it's strange that by the way, this came up in RoboCop, Esmeralda, Veronica, Brandon, Sean. The cops talked about striking. And I never thought about that, because they were saying, you're cops, you can't strike. What are complete chaos will, and anarchy will happen.
And it's so you better pay us more.
Is that why sometimes the teachers are the last of all of our civil servants? It's kind of like, oh, well, they're going to strike. That's fine. Because they're first responders. You're going to keep paying. Not that they get great pay, although the firefighters in Chicago did go on strike in the 70s, as a matter of fact. And that was awful time, because then people were applying for the fire department. Then they were considered scabs, which are people that come in.
Yeah, people that cross the line.
Yeah. The city's history of striking and.
Okay, so let me ask your opinion. So just from the very little I know, it seems like that's what happened. They kept slush funding basically these pension funds, and just the city would borrow money from these pension funds.
As with the state, right.
Right. But they were using that money to pay salaries and to pay for school things and to pay for salary increases for teachers, right? It wasn't just like Rahm bought himself a new convertible. Like, not that this is good or bad. I'm just asking. And so now that's the issue. Does the CTU have any sort of say, like when these things happen, of like, actually, you know what? No, let's figure out a different way to get a raise or to pay for these computers or whatever, because that's our future.
And actually, there was a legislation passed in Springfield where the Chicago Public Schools can actually have their own separate property tax. Like there's another tax that will be imposed simply for the Chicago teachers, for the pensions. I know your eyebrow just went up. So, yes, they have kind of gotten into the mix as well. And the thing is, okay, so to go back to Rahm Emanuel demanding that teachers do their part, the city's done their part, the state's done their part. As far as that goes, what they've done is also they've whittled down the money spent for special education. 500 employees have already been let go.
So they're just letting teachers go and making classes bigger?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So that's what's happening in the city of Chicago. I just think it's fascinating, this relationship constantly between Rahm. Did you have teachers who reflected that, Sean, their dismay for the city of Chicago and the teachers unions?
It's been like that for a long time. I think the strike I was speaking of was in 87, which happened to be the longest strike in the history of Chicago, 19 days.
Yeah.
So, and they got an 8% pay raise out of that. So something that the Philadelphia teachers did last year instead of striking was they stopped doing things that they weren't contractually responsible for.
Right. So anything that was after-school
programs, before-school programs, they didn't cover recess because it's not in their contracts. And it really affected the parents.
Yeah. That was an efficient way of...
Instead of striking.
Interesting.
But they didn't strike, so they're still getting paid.
Right. So they used a water gun instead of a machine gun.
Mm. Yeah.
Is that a good comparison or no?
I think as long as you have the orange tip at the end, you're fine.
Okay. Maybe it's better to say a water gun or a full or a hose, a fire hose.
It's been a tenuous relationship between the teachers and the city.
Yeah,
for quite a long time.
Absolutely. And I don't know how you fix that.
What's Rahm asking them to do? Chill? Is there action they can take besides just not wanting to get paid what they're getting paid or a pension? You know what I mean? Like, what is his call to action for them? I raised taxes on people and I built a bunch of cool buildings. Here's some money.
They have been rejecting the contract. There's been a proposal in place for quite a while. And Rahm Emanuel has increased property taxes by $250 million, which is the largest increase.
Unless you work for the government, then I hear your houses get lower values. But anyway,
something
different
like that. The state has a tentative plan to also pump in $215 million into the retirement fund. And the CEO of CPS says he has cut district spending. That is one of the biggest problems, is I think inefficiency in how money is allocated for different programs.
She said about everything ever in government.
Absolutely true.
I'll pay more taxes if you can let me help control where they go. Mm-hmm. But sorry, continue.
No, I hesitate to put this all on the backs of teachers, considering what they do. the responsibility they take on
and the
shortchanging
they're
getting. Yeah.
I just want to know what Rahm thinks they should do. Is it just shut up? You know what I mean? Or is there something they can do
in his mind? Right. Well, here's one of the proposals, right, that has the most recent rejection. It would have required teachers to start contributing 7% of their pay to the underfunded pension system.
Oh, so when, okay. That seems significant.
Yeah.
What's 7% of what, 51?
Yeah, let's say that. Yeah. I have to be like 10% minus 3%.
Yeah, for sure. After the break, we will get back to you on the math.
On the news, yes. So they, because CPS has been making those contributions for years, and this would phase out that pickup for the 2017 school year, saving the district's $127 million. And obviously the president of the CTU, Chicago Teachers Union, Karen Lewis, who also fun relationship there with Rahm Emanuel.
Yeah, they seem to get along.
They really do. She has rejected that idea, obviously. And there is a $5.4 billion budget proposal that depends on phasing that pension pickup. Claypool says that the teachers would be getting raises under the rejected contract.
7% raises.
So there you go. 312-981-7200. I know we have a lot of teachers, and we have parents that listen to the show, and not just in the Chicago area. Perhaps you're outside of Chicago and look at us and go, what is your problem? Why can't you get this straight? We want to hear from you. 312-981-7200. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. Brandon, did you see what's happening on my screen just there? That's the Olympics, and it's tandem. What is it like?
Tandem diving?
Is it tandem diving? What would you call that? Synchronized diving? I don't know. Look at, and then they have like the diagrams that show that they're at a perfect V. My head, what?
How would you know? Like your head's spinning around. Like, are you doing the same thing I'm doing, Dave?
Right. Are they wearing crazy makeup?
I don't
know. That's not that one. That's synchronized swimming. Oh. This is same time diving.
They wear like amazing makeup.
Do they?
Yeah. Well, because you're in the water, so you
it's very
show
and
off.
It's waterproof, so it's real shimmery.
You got to be Esther Williams out there. So let's see how they did. They got 8. They got 8.5. I'm sorry. If you go to your NBC on your own, I guess.
And the confidence to walk around in those shorts
and those Speedos.
God bless me with that.
Are those clouds in the front? What are those little blotches on there?
It's like when the butt of pants says pink. You're just supposed to draw your attention to it.
They have blotches on their crotches. I don't understand.
They got blotches on their crotches.
They do. Okay, let's see if it helps with their diving. Okay, no, that one guy looked like he was way higher than the other guy. All right, that's not what we were. Why is
points
the water
off?
Yeah, definitely. Why
synchronized springboard?
Oh my God, they're guys in ponchos. The judges are in ponchos. How close do they have to be to the water? Adorable. Come on, I kind of
all
love
matching khakis and ponchos.
That's fantastic. Why is the pool green? Does anyone know why the pool is green?
It's Rio.
Wait, it's still green.
It's still green, unless
like gooey green.
Well, unless the color balance is off on the screen down here.
No, I think isn't everything wrong in the water down there?
Oh, look, China's. Do you see? Think that's pink or red? Those have to be red.
Those are red, but I'm bad at colors.
All right.
I'm sure they're the colors of the Chinese flag. Yeah.
He was ahead of the. How do you catch up? Did you see that? The little guy was like one step ahead of the other guy. Is it because he's lighter? He knows that he can be a. Okay, this is not good radio. Describe what's happening in synchronized
diving. You know
what else
diving. We can see that you can't?
No, but they can, though. They can. We can do the. Oh, no, that was off. I was right. See?
Oh, man.
Yes.
Yeah, if the point is to do the same thing at the same time, the Chinese did not meddle right now.
Yes. By the way,
yes.
It's algae.
It's algae? Why would there be algae in a
due
pool?
Due to heat and lack of wind.
Are they diving outside?
Don't you, like, filter pools, though?
That's what apparent I've, what is this? Gizmodo. People were asking questions.
Are those hot tubs or decontamination pools? That
Yes.
That's why those guys are wearing ponchos. They're going to spray them down
later.
He's
bathing this chlorine after you get off.
This man's beautiful. I'm sorry. Go to NBC and let me know. As a man, I know
objectively,
that's...
Objectively, incredibly good looking.
That was...
Oh, that's a mirror. I'm sorry. Gonna... We were looking at the screen.
I know we missed you last week, Brandon, and you were traveling to your hometown, mm-hmm. which is where in Alabama?
Sylacauga, Alabama.
Sylacauga. Do people talk to you about living in Chicago when you go home and like how can you live
all
there?
The time.
Is it the
mm-hmm.
politics? What comes up? The gun violence?
I mean, taking away some of the South's just ignorance and then like actually intelligent conversation. Yes, it's generally the violence. The violence and the corruption are both often gestured to.
Why do we stay, Esmeralda? I mean,
I live in quite a bubble. Honestly, I have not seen any violence. I haven't been in any shooting, so I can't even.
Right. So it's kind of since it's not connected to us.
Yeah. And I mean, the sad part is it's starting. You start to see it because I mean, there was a shooting in Lakeview, and mm-hmm. there's been shootings in Wrigleyville. I mean, that's the only way that it's gonna make any like.
Yeah,
people knock anybody in the head to be like, we need to do something, sadly enough.
Because Monday was the deadliest day in Chicago for more than a decade, since 2003. 9 people were fatally shot on Monday, including a man who was sitting on his front porch in Burnside. It was Michael Lucas was 61 years old, watching his 3-year-old grandnephew play in the sunshine. And one shot struck Lucas, and the men pushed past Lucas's nephew and out of the way and shot Lucas 3 more times, and then they fled. Lucas was one of only 19 people that were shot on Monday, 9 of them fatally. And I don't understand. Lucas does not say, and he wasn't the intended target. His family members described him as a jack of all trades, a handyman. He played blues guitar. And Lucas's son said Pops wasn't a bad person. And that's something I think that we talk about is a lot of people think, well, they're just killing each other. And
yeah, that is an ignorant thing that people say a lot.
And here is a grandfather and a father and a man who was just watching his grandson play in the front,
it's,
on the front lawn.
It seems to me like it's just systemic anger. And everyone in that situation has a real right to be angry. And it's a shame that violence is begetting violence and it's snowballing. But how do you not be so mad and so angry and so disheartened about like right. the possibility of things changing when things continuously get worse? And so like, why fight that? Like, why not go with the flow at that situation? You know what I mean? Like, I'm not obviously in those shoes, but it seems to me like it's just continuing to roll and get bigger and bigger and bigger. And the momentum at this point is scary.
Right. Why feel like you're going to be a victim? Why not be in a position of power?
It's going to happen anyway.
If it means rolling, you know, down the streets with guns, I mean, there is something compelling about that. If that's part of the culture, how do you, you know, how do you keep yourself from being sucked into that and going, you know what, screw it. I'm just going to.
Absolutely. And then now you have more people with more anger and more guns who don't have the education for guns, who don't have the right to buy guns, like blah, 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 blah. It just keeps going and going and going. And you can blame guns. You can blame the demographic of people in the 11th district or wherever it's happening. Mm-hmm. But that I think that's all just looking at symptoms and not the actual disease.
But this wasn't just limited to the South Side. Our most deadly day in Chicago since 2003, in Westtown near Chicago's North Side, a 25-year-old father died after being shot in his car. He was at a red light when another vehicle pulled up next to him and someone shot him. The law enforcement agencies in the area. By the way, this is so. I'm reading from outside of Chicago because we have a. You know, when it's in Chicago, there. I don't know how reporters handle this. A lot of them going to the scene after scene. I mean, I'm friends with several of the reporters, and it wears away at them. Obviously, they're not living it, so and they appreciate that. Look, I'm just writing it, and at the same time, even Rob Martier has talked about how you have to decide: am I going to keep reading these stories about shootings in Chicago? And that's the problem: are we treating it like background noise too?
Yeah, I mean, it should be in the public eye, and we should hear about it. And we should all, like Esmeralda saying, like whether you're seeing it in your front yard or not, we should be doing something about it. But at the same time, if you see it every day and all you're hearing is this negative rhetoric over and over and over and over again, do you almost get desensitized to it?
Yeah, I agree.
And then therefore care less because, again, you're not directly affected. Yeah. Like, what's the better way to go about that?
Right. And people will say, see, this is what happens. You have a city with the strictest gun laws in the country. One, we don't prosecute and sentence when there are violations of gun laws that exist. So even if we have the strictest, there isn't a deterrent either for a lot of people.
That was my next question. Is like, I wonder what the percentage of these shootings and these murders are that go to trial and get convictions.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that number has to be low, or
it's
it would
low.
Be a deterrent.
Well, when I was I had the opportunity to work with the FBI's Citizens Academy, and the rate at which they were able to apprehend suspects of violent crimes was like, it was like maybe 29%. Half of those might be prosecuted, and maybe 5% of all the violent
crimes
were sentenced.
That's like Wild West crazy.
It's
like
wild.
That's like
it's
1820s when you could just shoot someone and walk away and it was cool. Like, you think, oh, well, CSI and like that Grissom guy, they'll get him. And then like that's just not happening at all. I'm sure it happens in like really, really tiny little suburbs where one person gets murdered a decade.
Right.
You know what I mean? But gosh, I think that's something that as an uninformed like person that watches the news, I would have wanted everyone to hear more. Like,
right.
Look, that's not the issue because this is not what's happening. These people are not being that can't be the deterrent. Just making it more illegal isn't going to help.
Right, because you have to enforce what's already there.
Mm-hmm.
Is as part of the problem. And there's also the illegal gun influx from other
right.
states where gun laws are different and easier to purchase guns. And then, you know, whether it's at gun shows.
And this is not taking a side on this argument either, but, you know, now you've got this giant, very focused in eye on law enforcement,
yes.
who are probably a little, like, gun-shy, mm-hmm. for lack of a more appropriate term, you know, and so it's just like it's a perfect storm of violence.
Well, as as what we talked about off the air, this horrible notion and appalling idea that there are gangs who have basically set out, they're saying that they are going to attack police officers. And this is one of the reasons why, and I think there are several reasons to not release the names of the police officers involved in the Paul O'Neill shooting the videos were released last
yeah.
week, because we do need to protect our men and women in blue.
President Donald Trump knows how to make America great.
You're listening pretty late. And I love that my sidecar, Brendan C. Price, is picking apart the lyrics as not
it's
rhyming.
It's just not well written. Not well written.
And I think to describe it is also appropriate that way. I don't even want to use words to describe it. We have Rich Lenkoff on the line, who is now we're getting to the just preferred half of Legal Face Off. Is that where we are now, Rich?
The only half, the only one that matter. I mean, at this point, we even wonder if Whiteside is a real person or not. But
I see this picture, and I mean, the whole thing looks rather. You can go to WGNplus.com and look for Legal Face Off, and I think this is photoshopped. I think that you put somebody. Although he's a tall dude, is he standing on a box in order to be in this picture with you?
You know, he spends a lot of money on photoshopping that photo. His hand. His fist looks a lot bigger than mine. You know, he's got to make up for his lack of legal skills somehow. So,
well, whatever it takes. But we appreciate your legal skills when you come on our show. And we had a lot of topics. And I realized even this segment, which we, Rich, I don't know how much you're able to have conversations with people anymore about this election. I have decided that we will only talk about Donald Trump on Wednesdays, and aptly named by our very own Esmeralda Leon. It's called Trump Trackers. We only take the stories from Wednesday to Wednesday. Nothing from before that. No other craziness. And that's from both candidates. On Thursday, we do Hillary's Hurlers. So people can send us links. There's actually enough. We only have two things we can even get to tonight because those are, I think, enough conversation. And because this first one, are you in someone's? Did you just get honked at? What happened?
that was my alarm to remind me to call in. So
be on the air now. So because this is a Constitution conversation that Donald Trump had yesterday, a reference he made. Let's go ahead and listen to that clip. I want to refresh everyone's memory in case you haven't heard what Donald Trump said yesterday.
Second Amendment, by the way, and if she gets to pick her judges. Nothing you can do, folks. Although the Second Amendment people, maybe there is, I don't know. But I'll tell you what, that will be a horrible day.
Okay, so
that would be.
Brandon, did you not hear the whole speech in context like that?
No, I mean, out of context, you could hear that would be a horrible day, and I wonder if he means when Hillary is elected or when all of my friends shot her. Like,
oh wait, there's a response from him on Sean Hannity. Let's go with this first, and then we'll let Donald Trump respond after our response. What do you hear when that clip is played, Rich Lankoff, Attorney Rich Lankoff?
Well, I mean, you know, from a just a non-legal perspective, I think I hear what everyone else in the world hears, which is that he's making a ridiculous statement that, you know, on its face is maybe not dangerous, but you know, certainly stupid. From a legal perspective, you know, I hear speech that is constitutionally protected, you know, maybe unfortunately for a lot of people. But, you know, the test as to whether what he said is considered free speech or if it's considered, you know, a serious expression of, you know, an intent to incite violence, there's a couple of factors that go into it. And it's not really, you know, that hard to understand. Basically, you look at whether he is talking about doing something or inciting someone to do something that's imminent. You know, there has to be, in order for this to be criminal conduct, it has to have some immediacy. Secondly, it has to be, you know, fairly unambiguous. And I don't think what he said meets either of those standards. You know, he's not telling people, I want you to go out and shoot this candidate. And by the way, she doesn't have to be president. The law that's in place here goes back to 1917. It actually protects candidates for president. So it doesn't matter that she's not president, but, you know, he'd have to come out and say, I want you to shoot this candidate and I want you to do so immediately. I mean, not exactly those words, but pretty close for this to be criminal speech.
So it's not criminal speech. Did you see that the Secret Service has spoken to Donald Trump's campaign? I was asking Brandon off the air because, you know, we all can hear things differently, right? But I don't consider the Secret Service to be a political branch at all. They seem to be apolitical because they have a specific job, a specific duty, and they have met with Donald Trump's campaign. That seems to me to suggest that it's important enough for them we don't know what those conversations were. Donald Trump's campaign has denied that they met with the Secret Service. However, the Secret Service has said they have contacted and met with his campaign. Not in a legal sense, though, but what does that tell you?
Well, the Secret Service it tells you that they're doing their job. I mean, you know, there's a difference between the Secret Service talking to his campaign and this amounting to, you know, criminal conduct or speech that's not protected by the First Amendment. I mean, the Secret Service has a job, and their job is to protect candidates, protect the president. So the fact that they talk to him is not surprising. I mean, remember, they investigate, you know, hundreds if not thousands of threats against presidents and candidates every year. I mean, there's all sorts of threat levels that are, you know, are made, or all sorts of threats that are made all the time. So yes, they're taking it seriously. That's their job. That doesn't mean that if someone were to accuse him of violating the law that protects presidential candidates, that, you know, the Secret Service discussion would be really, you know, very relevant. So I don't think that's that relevant. Again, the real question is legally whether he meets the standard of insightful speech, and I don't think he does.
Because I just as a side thought, I was this guy who was trying to climb the outside of Donald Trump's tower in New York. I think, and I it sort of lends, like, that's the kind of campaign we're having, is that someone is driven to do something like that just because he wants a meeting with Donald Trump. So what I was telling Brandon, to me, there are the idea of dog whistles. But as you mentioned, dog whistle meaning I'm saying this, and what I'm trying to do is get you on this other behavior.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's no question. Listen, I mean, there's no question that, again, from a legal perspective, I don't think, you know, what he said is criminal. But from a practical standpoint, from a common sense standpoint, and, you know, I've seen, you know, you have to not just listen to the clip that you play, but you have to see it. There's no question that what he was saying was, yes, some, you know, the way to stop Hillary is to shoot her. You know, anyone who buys Trump's explanation after the fact is just, I think it's just ridiculous. I mean, the fact that he said afterwards, oh, that would be a terrible day. He's not saying it would be a terrible day if someone did that. He's saying it would be a terrible day if she was president. I mean, there's just no way that you would ever, you know, have her. You'd have to land on this planet for the first day ever and never had heard Trump before to believe that what he was saying was anything but, yeah, take a gun and shoot her.
Go, Brandon would like to respond to that.
Well, I just heard something on the radio today that was in reference to the fact that people just talk and sometimes things like that come out. Now, I don't necessarily disagree with Trump being just an awful person all the time. But like in 2008, they quoted Hillary when she was remaining in the race after California with Obama. And, you know, they pointed out like, well, Bill didn't wrap up the nomination until June. And she just said a sentence something like, well, we all remember Bobby Kennedy was assassinated right before they figured out that he'd be winning or whatever. And she had to apologize, and that came out. And it was like, and if it, taken out of context of who we know Trump to be, just in the fact that politicians have to talk in front of everyone 24/7 and are always under the microscope, is there no way that it could have been just one of those things like Hillary had in 08 that she wasn't trying to incite violence? It was just, you just talk all the time, and then something comes out off the cusp, and it's very easily taken in a way you didn't mean.
Well, I respect that, but here's why I think this is different. This is not, if this was the first time Trump spoke that way, you would maybe say, yeah, this is just, you know, he just misspoke. But, you know, Trump is, if nothing else, he's very conscious of what he says. And listen, I think that this is dog whistle politics over and over again. I think when he, you know, says that Obama wasn't born in this country, I think that's clearly, you know, meant to question whether an African American should be president. I think when he talks about Muslims, I think it's the same thing. I mean, you know, there's a laundry list of 10 or 12 things like this that he said that are calculated, I think, to appeal to the basest sense of, you know, people's fears and insecurity. So, you know, if this was a one-time thing, I think maybe you give him a pass, but, you know, right. This is like the 15th or so thing that he said like this that, you know, I think is pretty clear what he's trying to do.
I'm glad that Rich Linkov is saying instead of me. We,
I'm not disagreeing.
No, not for you. I mean, because one of the things that has come up is whether or not the station or shows are, you know, so anti-Trump that it becomes unlistenable. Mm. But the thing is that when he says things like this, how do we not talk about it in this context? And of course, there are going to be people who say, well, you know, that, look, I have conversations in my head and only some of the words come out. Mm. I think many of us, like the part of the that, you know, we want to convey doesn't always match
right.
What is heard. And so I can see that. But to Rich's point, you know, when Donald Trump has encouraged people to beat protesters and to, you know, things like that, mm-hmm. You're like, it's hard. To, yeah.
Something interesting. I don't get you guys' take on this. I heard when I was visiting the South last week is that a lot of people just instantly go, well, he's saying that to make liberals angry. He wouldn't do these types of things. He's trying to get our attention to the fact that we should care more and we should get all fired up more.
Interesting.
Ignorant, but interesting.
Well, you're not, I mean, the things that he says aren't going to change the minds of people who...
I just think in a way he wins every time he says something like that because of that opinion. You know what right. I mean? Like now we're all talking about him. We haven't mentioned Hillary maybe more than once tonight. Mm-hmm. And so this guy's in everybody's ear. And whether that's not going to change your opinion one way or the other,
right.
But it's going to get you fired up one way or the other. You know what I mean? So
right.
You're just going to remain polarized and everyone that is on his side regardless are hearing us talk about it. And if we say something negative, it's like, oh, well, they're trying to get after him and you stop listening to the point and now you're fired up. So what happens is you don't only vote, now you campaign.
Right.
And you know what I mean? And so if Hillary's not firing us up that way, as if you're a Hillary supporter, yeah, you'll vote. But you know what I mean? You might not campaign because you don't feel so passionately. I think every time he does one of these things, I think Rich is right. He knows what he's saying. I think he's winning in a little way.
I mean, I agree with that. I mean, listen, there's a certain segment of the population that for the first time, I think, in a long time, they're hearing things that they've never heard before at a national level, and it appeals to them. I mean, I'm not saying that that's right or wrong, but they're just hearing words and statements and things from a national candidate, someone who might be president, that appeals to them. you know, listen, I come on your show as a legal analyst. I'm generally pretty objective, and I think that a lot of what Trump has said in the past, you know, I've actually agreed with some of it. But, you know, over the last couple of months, it's just hard to listen to what he says and take him seriously. Like when he says that the judge on the Trump University case is biased because he's Mexican. I mean, it's nuts. I mean, number one, the guy's not Mexican. He was born in the United States. And number two, even if he was Mexican, let's even assume the guy was Mexican. So what? I mean, how are you as a presidential candidate going to lead a nation of immigrants and think that someone who is born in Mexico cannot be objective? I mean, to me, that's just, you know, like if that was the only thing he said, like that used to be enough to derail people, right? I mean, remember George Allen, like 10 years ago in Virginia, you know, prominent figure was running for the Senate or for governor and used the term macaca over a protester. The guy's life was over. You never heard from the guy again. I mean, he literally has not been heard of in the 8 or 10 years. The macaca statement at the time was, oh my God, this was the biggest scandal ever. Trump says macaca every single day.
Yes.
And he might be president.
Right. It was Brandon's asking about the comment about macaca. There was a candidate
very quietly mouthing, what does that mean?
Right.
And it pulled off because now no one knows I didn't
well,
know.
Well, now everyone has to Google during the break. We're talking to Rich Lightcock. We've got a couple more stories to talk about when we come back, including, of course, the refusal of Blagojevich's judge to lighten his sentence, and whether or not you can ban sexism in the courtroom. I'm curious about that. I know. Can it be done? More after this on 720 WGN with attorney Rich Lenkov, the preferred half of Legal Face Off. Are you dancing, Rich Lenkov? Is that your...
I am. I got to get back to my serious position on the couch. But
my dance alarm went off.
Yes, exactly.
You and Jason Whiteside have dropped your podcast this week a little bit early because of the sentencing, the non-sentence, the court decision yesterday. Is that why?
All of those things. we were supposed to tape tomorrow. That's our regular day, but because of Blago, we went early. So
it's smart.
That's on WGNplus.com, on iTunes. Yeah.
Yeah. What were your thoughts when that, because I was watching it in real time. Not, I wasn't watching the decision. I was watching WGN TV news as the decision came down. What happened? Were you there, by the way?
I was, yeah. I was there from the beginning. I was there the whole time.
And what was the atmosphere like when either Rob Blagojevich spoke or his wife spoke as well, pleading with the judge to lighten his sentence? Is that correct?
His wife did not speak. She wrote a letter to the judge that was delivered the day before that the media that we saw. His two daughters, though, who are now 13 and 20, they spoke very powerfully. So, yeah, I mean, the vibe in the room when the governor spoke, you know, he was rambling a little bit. I mean, I think he was, you know, fairly articulate, nothing we haven't really heard before. To be honest, I don't think what he said, and it turns out, you know, what he said didn't really move the judge very much. But, you know, what was really powerful in the courtroom was when his daughter spoke. I mean, we've got, you know, a 13-year-old and a 20-year-old who spoke very eloquently about the effect that their, you know, this whole ordeal has had on them and their lives. You know, they were tearful. Very sad, obviously. You know, you have to be a machine to not hear that and be moved. But, you know, didn't really influence Judge Zagel, as we learned later.
Yeah, no kidding, because there were charges that were dropped. This was the hope. It was because some of the charges were removed that perhaps that would be reflected in the sentencing.
Yeah, the appellate court had dropped five of the counts, and the purpose of yesterday was for Judge Zagel to determine whether the dropping of those counts warranted a reduction of the sentence, because those two things aren't necessarily, they don't necessarily go together. So Judge Zagel, after hearing, you know, some additional testimony from Blagojevich and the daughters, and, you know, the attorneys were talking about how 100 of Blagojevich's fellow inmates wrote letters about being helped and being taught by Blagojevich. All that amounted to Judge Zagel not changing his sentence.
Wow. And do you have an opinion on his opinion?
I do. I mean, I think I wasn't surprised. You know, anyone who followed the trials and the appeals, you know, there was really nothing new that came out of yesterday or came out of the dropping of the counts that really would force or even allow Judge Zagel. I shouldn't say allow. I mean, obviously he could do what he wants, but there really wasn't any new evidence. I mean, the crux of Leonard Goodman's argument yesterday to Judge Zagel was twofold. Basically that he has rehabilitated himself. He's no longer the man he was. And secondly, that this was the only case in history of an elected official being prosecuted for strictly political acts and not, you know, for taking things for personal gain. So, you know, in light of that, I wasn't very shocked. But to answer your question, my personal opinion has always been that, yeah, Blagojevich got way too much time. I mean, I was very shocked at the 14 years when it came down, and I'm surprised that it wasn't reduced. You know, I agree that this wasn't a case that Blagojevich profited personally. You know, we've seen plenty of examples. You know, most recently in Virginia, where the governor of that state was, you know, getting clothing and trips and money for college. I mean, that was all being paid to him, and he was prosecuted ultimately by the Supreme Court about 6 months ago, or even I think it was 3 months ago, overturned that sentence. So for Blagojevich to serve 14 years when he never, you know, pocketed any money, he never gained personally. He was, you know, convicted of trying to sell the Senate seat in exchange for campaign funds, but that's different from, you know, getting things for personal gain. I mean, remember Jesse Jackson Jr. got like a year and a half or something, you know, less than 2 years, and he got a watch. He got, you know, Michael Jackson's glove.
Wow.
He got a whole bunch of things that benefited him personally. So, yeah, I think it was too long.
But doesn't getting vote, I mean, like, so he's using it for his campaign funding. Isn't that a personal gain in a different way? So it's not a house, but it's a position that you want, a position of power. And if you're willing to be corrupted enough to get that, to use corruption to get that, wouldn't you therefore probably be inclined to use the corruptive power that you have when you got that? I mean, I don't disagree that it seems like a long sentence, but I'm just, you know, curious to see if that's the point of maybe a judge that is deciding to keep him in that long.
Definitely. I mean, you nailed it, right? I mean, the idea is that someone in the position of power that he's in, I mean, there's only 50 jobs like that in the world, right? There's only 50 governorships. So Judge Zagel, I think, you know, one of the reasons he imposed a 14-year sentence was just as you said. I mean, this is behavior that you shouldn't tolerate. And, you know, even though he didn't actually profit personally, what he intended to do, and if you remember, you know, federal prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald, you know, used the words, you know, they were trying to stop a crime in action. What he wanted to do was sell the Senate seat for a job in the Obama administration. He wanted the Health and Human Services job, and that paid money, obviously. That carried a salary. It was like $120,000 or something. So, yeah, I mean, if he, you know, the argument goes, the federal government argument goes that if this wasn't stopped, then he would have successfully traded this, you know, position for a salaried position in the government. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's, you know, part of why Judge Zagel didn't reduce the sentence.
You can hear more of Rich Lankov's important conversation about the Blagojevich sentencing or not, or resentencing or failure of lightening the sentence. I don't know which way to phrase it, but he and Jason Whiteside, is that his name?
We think so.
They'll be discussing that and a lot of other things, including in their legal grab bag, amusement parks, Michael Madigan, and the Olympics. So go to WGN Plus for their podcast, Legal Face Off, and we'll talk to you again soon. Get some sleep. I know that set your alarm for much later.
Sounds good.
Get some sleep. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. In just a little bit, we're going to talk to the folks from Nerdfest, and that's going to be at Stage 773 this whole weekend. A lot of great shows. There are four stages, a bunch of different types of, you know, anything from Star Trek to Jane Austen improvised. A lot of great shows. You can go to stage773.com and check out Nerdfest. I am kind of a nerd for Girl Scout cookies. I'm not sure if, like, what... I know that nerd, you know, the nerd sort of arena...
You can be a nerd of anything.
Oh, then I'm a nerd of Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to own that right now. I was a Girl Scout, and I never was a very good retailer. I was never a good seller of Girl Scout cookies. Esmeralda, were you a Girl Scout?
I wasn't, but I like eating cookies.
Well, there you go. So. I love getting badges. I needed those stinking badges. I had like a first aid badge, and I had a like repair bike. Mm-hmm. I can't remember like all the different.
It's validating. It's good to have a reward for everything you do.
It's very validating. But the Girl Scout cookies they're adding two new flavors. S'mores, by the way, is one of the cookies that they're going to be, and none of the other ones that we like are being eliminated. They still have they join the Thin Mints, the Samoas, the Tagalongs, but there's going to be a crunchy graham sandwich cookie with creamy chocolate and marshmallowy.
Now,
filling.
Do you still need an in to get Girl Scout cookies?
What do you mean?
Can you just buy them online now?
Oh, I don't. Yeah, I think you still need to have.
You still got to know someone.
You got to have a dealer.
I mean, like every Jewel Osco, there's Girl Scouts posted up. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. there's. I got your hookup. I got many Girl Scouts in my world, and we can always have some in studio and just have them bring some, and I'll buy you a box.
There's tons of Girl Scouts that are up at 1 a.m.
Oh yeah, it's a good point that you make there. I'll have to pre-record
you get
that.
You older. Girl Scouts.
And then I think right? You're a lady scout.
The cadets. No, the cadets go all the way up to 16 years old.
Right. They
really?
Sell Girl Scout cookies, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do. Yes, they do. I want to apologize to my guests in the studio. I don't know who was here last night. I was, in the middle of the day, realized that I had hit a wall and needed to take a night off. I know that sounds crazy, but I never take days off. So the station was like, what? I mean, I've been sick and come in. And there's just a lot going on, and I decided that it was a day to take a day off. And I did not clearly explain to the production manager at Stage 773 what that meant. Amy Guth was booking her own show, and so I apologize to you, Cody Melcher.
Oh, no worries at all, really. I mean, and trust me, this week more than any week, I understand hitting a wall.
So, I hit a wall, yeah. I was like, where did that go? I totally feel like a cartoon character. Like, I hit the wall and, like, slid down it and was, like, not being very articulate with my messages to people.
Oh, sure. So I'm living that right now. So are you living understand.
Is it because of the prep for
Nerdfest? I mean, I'm living in the theater right now.
Are you?
Yeah.
Do you have a blanket and a... I have a blanket and a pillow in my office. If you want to nap, like,
I mean, I'm not lying. I'm literally getting an hour of sleep after this because I have to be back at the theater at 5:30 in the morning.
What's happening at 5:30 in the morning?
We're doing television coverage.
Hey!
Yeah.
So who's coming out to the station? Theater.
WCIU is coming to the theater. Then we're going down here for Fox. Then we're going back over there for CBS. So
you're getting it all.
It's a big year. I'm really excited. Yeah.
Well, with what happened last night, I really appreciate it, and I so didn't mean to take any of your time and any of the guests that you had brought last night. So
no, I mean, things happen, and we love you. So no, thank you for having us.
Well, you can come back every night if you want. Oh, I'm not going to be here. So that was, next
I mean,
week,
we probably still will come back.
Will you come and do you want to do a wrap party on Monday night? Like, tell us how it went and give us like a summary of
sure.
Stuff?
Yeah, I'd love to.
Maybe Tuesday?
Maybe Wednesday? Maybe, you know, how's your September?
No. It has to be next week. But yeah. On Monday, I'll be in Philadelphia. So you can be here, and I will still be broadcasting, but I won't be in studio with you. But I could do that.
I'm down for whatever you want to do. I can do Monday.
I'm doing Tuesday. An on-air production meeting.
Yeah. No, like, people love the inside baseball of booking.
Oh,
yeah,
yes, exactly.
Everybody loves booking.
Now they know how it works. And now, who have you brought with you tonight?
Oh, well, we're here for the Chicago Nerd Comedy Festival, in case that was unclear when I said that earlier, which is a four-day event at Stage 773 happening this Thursday to Sunday, August 11th to 14th. And we've got pretty much every type of comedy that celebrates nerd culture and just every comedy in general, from improv, sketch, stand-up, burlesque, drag. We have everything, live podcasts. And so who I have for you right now, I have... somebody from our stand-up show that's on Saturday night. Okay. And then also someone from our kickoff show live, Locked Into Vacancy, which is that one of the live podcasts that I was talking about. So you guys can introduce yourselves.
You first.
Oh, you first.
Ooh.
What?
Yes.
Everybody always knows this lady's first. And okay, my voice is a lot. Hi, I'm Bill.
Hi,
I'm a stand-up comedian. Yeah, I'll be headlining the stand-up showcase at 7 p.m. on Saturday. Hi. Hello.
How do you incorporate the theme of Nerd Comedy Festival? What qualifies you, Bill, as a Nerd Comedy Festival stand-up
show? Well, your nerd cred. That's well, what you
what's your
said.
Nerd? I know. That's a weird way to... I'm like, I don't know.
Well, coming out guns blazing.
I'm just going to start right away. I don't know if your audience can hear it in my voice, but I'm a black person. Not what you're expecting a black person to sound like on the radio. No, I'm just kidding. I'm a nerdy person. The weird thing about me when it comes to my stand-up is that like I'm not like going up there doing a lot of like the X-Men are cool, let's talk about that. It's more about just like my general demeanor and okay. like my more like everything that I do and how I am as a human being and the perception of what it means to be a person who looks like me but sounds like this. Like you can't see me because this is a radio. I understand. But,
WGNradio.com and yeah. we are live
yes.
streaming. So
there
go
are
ahead, check
cameras
out Bill.
Everywhere. It's very weird. It's I wasn't hard. Expecting it. I don't look great.
You do look great. What
you
are you
look
talking
fantastic.
About? Yes. Please. No, you do.
Stop it. Stop.
I won't stop.
What qualifies me as a nerd? I am so socially awkward that I don't have an answer for that.
I think
does that
answers the yeah. question.
It took a paragraph to answer a question. That's it.
No, but when you say that you talk about your experiences. What it is like to be you, to me, is some of my favorite kind of stand-up comedy. It's the most authentic, the most vulnerable, and the most exposed you can be on stage
yeah.
is to ask an audience, not even ask them, but to declare who you are and wait for their response.
I don't wait.
You don't
like
wait.
I don't wait for their response. I
no,
just
good.
Keep going and just
that's
barrel right
that's
through.
Even better. Exactly. And, that, and again, that's part of your personality
yep.
that I think does it serves comedy so well. And I hope you have a great. I can't make it, so I was gonna say I look forward to seeing you. But
so disappointing.
I know, because last year they gave me a badge and everything, and
we were prepared to do so again.
I know.
You can't
thank
do your
you.
Own show. Like you can't come to our show. What are you doing?
I am a mess.
What are you even here for?
I am an absolute mess. This
You're living the dream.
I'm a total disaster. I have so many. You know, like I need that. Like,
I understand.
You know that the music they play when someone's spinning plates. Did it?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what. My, that's
yeah.
what, that's what I hear on my head all the time. That and a high pitched scream.
Oh, sure.
Do you
at
have
the same
that?
Time? Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to think it was just tinnitus. But
no, it's yeah. a high-pitched screaming. It's all the screaming. I'm like, get out of my head. And they're like, no, we live here.
Oh, boy.
Then, and that's why sometimes I'm like, you know what? Maybe Bushmills is a good idea. Tell us a little bit about Locked Into Vacancy, because I know that you had folks that were tuning in last night just for your interview. And again, I apologize to them.
No, not a problem at all. So my name's Kate Booth. I'm a company member with Locked Into Vacancy Entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And we are a podcast that records live once every other month in front of a live, living human audience. And we write our own material and we produce our own serials. And they're all done in the style of old-time radio.
What?
Yeah, yeah. So it's all like that Little Orphan Annie feel and, you know, all of the space cadets. And we've stolen from... borrowed and improved on in some cases.
Well put.
Thank you.
Nice phrasing.
Thank you. From all sorts of different media and pop culture genres throughout time. So we've got a generic hospital, which is our medical soap opera.
Nice.
Which will be one of the segments that we do at Chicago Nerd Fest. And then the other one that we're going to be doing this time around is Clark and Belmont, which is our take on Abbott and Costello with a little Chicago twist.
Nice.
And that's kind of our general vibe in what we do.
I have a quick question. Are these also going to be live streaming? Because I know that in Fest's past people have been able to watch them.
Yes, we will, in fact, be giggity streaming everything except for the workshops on Sunday, because
okay.
those are pay extra and those go specifically to the teachers.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll even be live streaming the panels that we'll be doing on Sunday.
Because
workshops.
I now must watch, because
yeah.
I will
yeah.
be in Philly and I need to watch both of these.
Oh,
human beings.
I go way back with Bill. Bill's a hilarious comedian. There's nobody else I'd be wanting to headline this festival.
Thanks, buddy.
And then I also sat through the Locked Into Vacancy. I was working through their tech rehearsal.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got to get a sneak preview of Generic Hospital, and it's hilarious. I kept like laughing while I was trying to get
there
work
were gentle done. Guffaws throughout. It was lovely.
Oh, I was dying, but I was trying to be polite because they were running tech.
The technical aspects of that show are so cool, with the whole Foley setup and like all the mics running and everything. It's a really cool thing that they do.
Yeah.
Okay, so Bill, you are headlining on Saturday. You'll be in the Thrust Theater, and that's at 7 o'clock.
Indeed.
And, mm-hmm. and what your rating, is that you or other comics on the show that are rated R?
I mean...
Because ratings for me, I know it's necessary for the theater.
Sure.
But I hope that people who are apprehensive, because anything can happen that, you know, when people are resistant to something, that's hard mm-hmm. in general. I think that if you're resistant to language, mm-hmm. that might carry over into anything you experience.
Sure. Right. I would say that my comedy is not, it's not like I'm out here trying to shock people, but I will say that I am very real. Like, I'm very right. personal. That's the thing that it really boils down to. Like, nobody's life as an adult human, like, your life has a lot of ins and outs and right. ups and downs.
It's not
and
all smooth
ins
services.
And outs and ins and outs.
Sometimes you hit a wall.
And, you know, the things that I talk about, I'm not, like, necessarily, like, a quote-unquote blue comic that's just out here, like, let's talk about gross things to be gross. But, like, gross things happen to me, and I'm going to talk about, like, things about, like, perception and, like, perception versus reality or, like...
Right.
The way that you...
I'm not going to make you give an example.
I'm not going to give you...
Because you're thinking about it a
little
bit.
We're on WGN.
Welcome to my show, though.
Well, it is after midnight.
It is way after midnight.
We're going to let it all hang out.
That's right.
WGN,
oh, it's encouraged.
After dark. No, I mean, my stand-up is very personal, but I try to make it relatable. But my life is not PG, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm very real about, like, who I am and what I want people to take away from what I'm talking about. And so whether that's meant to shock you or it's not meant to shock you, but mm-hmm. but whether or not it does is not the point, right? It's definitely just to be like, this is what it is, this is who I am, and more than anything, I want people to get to know me. So, yeah, if I talk about, like, an encounter I had with a person who I was in a dating relationship with, an intimate relationship with, yeah, those are things you're going to hear about in a very raw way, a very real way, but that's not meant to be like.
So for any of our listeners who think they live in a PG world, and maybe they see it that way, I don't know how you do that these days, but if that's the case, you know, maybe this is a fun way to step into somebody else's world.
Certainly.
For a little bit.
Yeah, and the thing is, I've been called a clean comic before, which is really funny because it's like
don't get me started on them. Yeah,
I talk about the existence of sex. I talk about the existence right. of, you know, other things.
And... Well, look, Bill Cosby, and I hate to use this as an example. I know I hate to use this as an example. Well, because that's what always drove us crazy was the hypocrisy of right. his stand up and you know, demanding that other people have the standard of being very clean.
Right.
And when you do that and demand it of people, I do think it comes out in different ways. So when when you know, whether it's if some people are hiring you a club or, you know, if they have to say don't say this word or that word, that's right. all you think the whole time, and then it becomes impossible to be as authentic as you need to be on stage.
Yeah, I think that's true. Yeah. I mean, you know, you don't want to just and it's arbitrary, right? Like, it's an arbitrary thing to say, like, don't say this word. Don't say this word that starts with F. Don't say this word that starts with S. That's
right.
not the important part. The important right. part is you're not saying, that's not the crux of right. the joke, right? Like, you may say that because that's authentic to how you speak, but, like, that's not what the joke is about.
Right.
It's not about
that word. Mm-hmm. But it's genuine.
Yeah,
to
exactly.
what you want to convey. And Amy from, Katie. Yeah. I wrote it down. See?
It's okay. You totally did.
Yeah, I peeled myself off the wall yesterday, but some of me is still there. Katie Booth, who is with A Locked Into Vacancy and the live podcast. What time is your show? Because I was trying
we
to scroll.
We are at 7 on Thursday. Mm-hmm. So we are the official beginning opening ceremony.
Yes, yeah, they are kicking off the festival. We're super excited about
yeah.
it.
That's
yeah.
awesome.
And which theater are you in?
We're at the Thrust.
We're also in the Thrust.
Nerdfest is all in one theater.
Oh, is it really?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I knew that. Okay.
Yeah, we
it's a great it's theater like a, for it too.
I mean, it's my favorite theater in Stage 773. I've performed on every single one of them.
It's all wraparound.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we like to with Nerdfest, we're very specific about what we want mm-hmm. every year, and so we try to really pick things that are that we think are really going to hit the audience and are really going to be fantastic. And
sure.
so we don't really accept, I think we have a lower acceptance rate probably because of that. And so we like being in kind of just one theater. It's this year especially, but Nerdfest always has been about comedy and community.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole message. That's the whole point of it being a nerd comedy festival.
Right.
It's about bringing outsiders inside.
And also seems like a great nerd kind of concept to be like just this.
Yeah,
right.
And so we don't want to split people between shows. There we want everybody to see every show.
Which was what? Go ahead.
There is nothing that nerds love more than being in a room together so that they can nerd out in community.
Yes. Yeah. Right. Because otherwise, is there any FOMO if you're in one theater? Like, I wonder what the nerds in the other theater are doing.
Yes. Right. And also there's no problems that you have at like some comedy festivals. Like I did a comedy festival in Indiana a while back where there were a lot of things running against each other.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And sometimes you don't know what show you're getting into and you don't know, maybe the quality or if it's what you really want to see. But with the Chicago Nerd Comedy Festival, you're going to want to see every single show and you don't miss any show.
Right. And, the whole thing. And you don't want to have to catch a cab between venues and all that kind of stuff.
I know.
That's the nice thing about Stage 773 is that they actually, even if you were dealing with like a festival where there's like a bunch of different shows happening very close to each other, they have multiple rooms in the same theater and it's just like you can walk out into the lobby and then there's literally like tape telling you exactly where to go to the next show. So
Cody, I have to commend you guys too on the scheduling, because the lineup on any given night is a great variety. You know, you can hit up like a couple of different sort of spices in one evening, which is really nice. It's not just going to be a boring night of all the same kind of humor all night long.
Right. Yeah. Which is good. We really tried to make each night a very like kind of special, its own night, separate from each other. And then also as a whole, if you come to the whole thing. Yeah. And then, of course, the beauty of also every show happening in the same theater is that every night we have an after party afterwards. And so everybody's already, if you ride the room the whole day, you've been hanging out just like at a comic book convention. You've been with these people the whole time. And then you get to go hang out in the bar or you get to go play games with them. We have a game night on Friday.
That's the second thing that nerds love most.
Yeah.
It's game night?
Yeah.
What are some of the games? Well, now this is just for the performers or for the audience?
No. So all the after parties are open to anybody. At all.
Yeah, and that's the part that I'm most excited about is the after party.
Because that's the thing, is it's comedy and community. So we don't want to shut people out. So it's not even, you don't even have a badge. You don't have to have come to a show. You don't have to be a performer. If you want to just come to the after party and hang out with people and
meet
people.
You want to be some geek off the street.
Yeah. You're welcome. Everybody's welcome. And so Friday night is our game night after party. It's sponsored by Secret Hitler. Which is a new local game. Are you? Yep. Yep.
Yes.
And so some of the creators are coming to the theater and they're going to help run games. They're going to teach people how to play it. It just sold out at Gen Con over the weekend.
Oh, that's tremendous.
I was out there last weekend. They had a line the corner. We were both there. Bill Bullock was actually working.
I spent the whole weekend running. I didn't even know that they were running Secret Hitler games. That's great. I'm so excited now. I'm even more excited.
Indianapolis was Gen Con? Everyone's been to Gen Con this week. We had the Way Down Wanderers were there.
Oh yeah,
did you guys see them?
No, but I know them. Yeah.
So good. So this is a great week of people. Now I've never been to Gen Con. Have you?
No, and I'm kind of jonesing that I didn't get to go this summer.
Oh yeah, go next year. It's great.
It is so fun.
Yeah.
I'm kind of jealous. So Friday night is the after party with the
sponsored
game
by Secret Hitler. Yes,
Secret Hitler.
And they're going to be bringing it's a social deduction game that's like Werewolf or Mafia. A lot of people play, but it uses. The rise of the Nazi Party to kind of spotlight how fascism evolves.
Nazi iconography or Holocaust iconography in the game.
Right.
For the record.
It's just social deduction that uses fascism kind of as a teach. I like it because it kind of shows how easy fascism can grow.
It's a teaching tool, is what you're saying.
To some extent, I mean,
it's also a good way to. Mm-hmm. It's also a good way to like really find out that your friends are monsters.
Because it's social deduction.
Really good at lying.
Nice.
It's like the new Monopoly.
Oh, there you go.
And that night, they're also bringing a couple of other local games that some people have been working on in the same offices. And so there are going to be some nice side games and stuff, too. It's a really fun night. It always is.
We are hanging out with our friends from Nerdfest. More with them when we come back on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio with the event or the entire organizer of Chicago Comedy, Nerd Comedy Festival. Let me get the name right. I have it written down. Chicago Nerd Comedy Festival.
Yes. It's on the flyer as well.
That too. I probably could have used that instead of my own handwriting. The reason I write things down is not just so that I can look at it again. Is that for me, I'm tactile. So if I write something down, I might remember it. As I was telling one of our guests off the air, Stephen, who I said, "Hi, nice to meet you." And then he sat down and said, "We've met several times."
You made that sound like I was awful about it.
No, you were very nice. No, no, because I was very clinical about it. I'm like, is it Stephen with a PH? And the reason I do that is that in the hopes that that'll help me also lock into the name. But I was sitting in my car the other day thinking, like, how terrible I am with faces and names. So it's not because I've met a lot of people and that you're not important. You are.
I'm also very generic white male looking. Like, I'm just a generic white male.
But you got that sweet Kiwi accent.
Exactly. I do, but that drifts away real quick.
Is this microphone? Hey, Sean, can you help me out? I just want to make sure. I don't think this microphone is on. Hold on a second. You're talking just fine, but I have to find. Let's see if this.
I can project.
Let's see what this does. This is where. Oh, that didn't sound good.
I did it.
We're just plugging stuff in.
That was it.
I know. Should I start plugging stuff in as well? I bought some plugs.
I did the right one. Correct?
Let's all plug in.
Yeah. Sean, yes. Okay. There we go. We've got a microphone now.
There we go.
So, I like to unplug.
So we have another round of performers from the Chicago Nerd Comedy Festival. Joining us is Steven with a V. So you're going to do that. And what is your show that you're performing?
I'm promoting Just the Facts, which is a British style panel show hosted by Chicago's very own New Zealander, Stephen. That's me. And we have basically what happens is we put two panels of comedians, entertainers against each other, and they have to come up with areas that they're passionate about, and then they're going to tell us some facts and some lies, and the other team has to work out whether they're telling the truth or whether they're lying by asking them questions. So it's edutainment in a way.
And how is there a range, a sort of a parameter for what topics they can choose that they are experts in?
No, none. Basically, we say to them, especially for Nerdfest, we were like, just something that you're nerdy about, something that you care a lot about, something that you're passionate about.
Sure.
And
the kind of thing that you annoy your friends at parties because you know so much about it.
Yeah. And we've had all the way from we had Linkin Park, we've had Sweet Valley High, we've had Scientology, we had Pittsburgh. So it's been a huge range of things and it's really great because it means that you get to find out a little bit more about someone, beyond their stage, personality into like, oh, they really care about this thing.
That sounds like a blast. And what night is that on?
That is on Saturday night at 10 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And we have a wonderful lineup of guests who are actually all performing elsewhere during the festival, mm-hmm. As well as our captains, Cody Melcher.
Ooh.
And Brian Bowden. So,
yeah. Oh, how fun. And do you already know your topic or are you going to decide?
No, so we've already submitted all of that.
Oh.
Because we're trying to trick the other team. So we've got to make sure that we have all of our ducks in a row. So, Steve, we submit a selection. Of facts and the fictions, and then Steven picks the ones that he thinks are going to be the best, and then that's how the game's played.
Oh, fine.
And actually Bill Bullock, who was just on, is going to be on my team along with our festival headliner, he'll be on later, Jackson Bird.
Okay.
And then also we have Vicky, who you're going to talk to in a minute. She's going to be on the opposing team along with Steve Gadlin, who I'm sure you know, mm-hmm. and he's going to be doing Steve Gadlin's Star Makers earlier that day at 4 p.m. And then he'll also be, he also does the I Want to Draw a Cat for You video. Oh. Like, he's the viral sensation.
Right.
That, yeah.
Too funny.
Yeah. So the panels don't actually know. They don't know whether they're telling a truth, a lie. They don't know whether they're telling two truths. They have two pieces of paper in front of them. They lift it up and they have to read it out what their fact is. Mm-hmm. And then the other team asks them questions to work out whether they're lying or telling the truth.
Holy, I'm really excited to learn what I'm going to be doing. It's really cool.
Yeah. My topic is the Marquis de Lafayette.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I chose French fries.
They're very similar. So, yeah. Both French. Yeah.
We like to put a range in.
I'm trying to figure out what my range of knowledge is as far as either one of those things. And I think I'm fairly limited. I like crisscross fries, but that's about it.
Oh, I thought you meant the band waffle. Crisscross.
No, crisscut. The waffle cut fries.
Okay.
Cross cut. I can't speak cross cut. What do you call them? Waffle fries or crisscross?
Cross country?
Well, the lattice sort of thing. Yeah, I've always called them waffle fries.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I don't know.
I go with waffle.
Yeah, I think I used to work in a restaurant where we'd have bags of those frozen fries and it probably said cross cut. is probably why I have that stuck in my. I worked at a place called Hollywood Hot Dog. Anyway, this does not make me an expert at all. So, Emily, what are you up to at Chicago Nerd Festival?
I'm performing also with Vicky. We are two of eight of improvised Jane Austen. Yes, yes, we're an all ladies improv troupe here in the city. And we do
basically we can do like a full length play in the style of our favorite authoress, Jane Austen. And yeah, we just have fun with like all the cads and the uptight women or the woman of loose morals. We just play around with it.
And the gossipers and yeah. the judgmental ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and also the fact that it's, you know, I mean, it was fantastic satire at its time. But yes. We also have now 200 years in between us, and we're all educated, funny women, and you know, we definitely like to take a look at how times they have changed, thankfully, for ladies. so that often is infused in our
shows.
Yeah,
a lot of people are like, oh, but I never read Jane Austen. Do I have to have seen a work by like seen a movie about that stuff? And we're like, no, it's fine. You can come. You'll still enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh yeah.
Well, because it's all because funny. One funny is funny, but you know, if you're going to inject it with one such a iconic writer and with your you know your skills, I think that's a great way to share that. Maybe you'll inspire someone who has never read or seen a Jane Austen. Yeah.
Every once in a while we do meet somebody, usually a gentleman, who's like, oh yeah, I read.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That's right. I hope that that's the end of his statement. Oh yeah, I read.
Oh yeah, I read.
I read. I saw your show. I went home and read.
And so I started. I started out the Chicago Nerd Comedy Festival in its second year. We're on its fourth right now. Mm-hmm. I started as I was the headliner of the stand up that year. And I knew nothing of the festival.
You stole it from somebody? You said, give me this thing.
I found out about it because a friend of mine. And then they brought – I loved it so much that year that I begged to be a part of the next year. And so I got on the board. And mm-hmm. then the producer from last year moved to Los Angeles. And so then Aaron Amendola and I stepped up. But I brought that up to say that that first year was the first time I'd ever seen improvised Jane Austen. Was the second year they were at the second festival, and also did last year. And it's one of my favorite shows. Like it's is.
Thank you.
You're a fool if you miss it, except for you, because I know you're not going to be there.
But everyone can catch it where?
On Giggity TV. It's online. You can go to Giggity. You can check out the whole festival is going to be online, including the panels that we're doing on Sunday. Okay. And that is especially true for our headliners, Jackson Bird and Team Star Kid, who have heavy YouTube presences. And so does Vicky as well.
Tell us about your YouTube presence. I forgot to ask the other guests. I forgot to ask Katie and Bill about their Twitter and stuff like that. So please apologize.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can look it up and tell you. Yeah.
Yes. But what's your tell us about that.
Okay, well, I'm just Vicky Eisenstein on YouTube because that's my name.
It's a good name.
Yeah, I like my name.
Yeah.
so I do comedy mainly. I do comedy sketches. I do news satire, so kind of like The Daily Show or like a late night monologue, just a bunch of news-based two-liners. I also do like some vlogs. To celebrate getting 15,000 subscribers, I actually swam in a pool of French fries.
How do you make that happen?
I attempted to.
Brandon, have you had the opportunity to swim in a pool of fries?
Yeah, but not for any good reason. I think it's really cool.
You don't need a good reason.
No one needs a good reason.
It's reason itself, you know?
Is it wrong that I could see myself swimming in a pool of ketchup rather than a pool of fries?
Yes.
I feel like you'd drown.
No, I love ketchup.
Everyone always talked about the Jell-O pool. I feel like you'd drown, real quick. Like
you
can't
too dense?
Get a foot up on Jell-O, you know what I mean? Or banana pudding with wafers.
How deep is this pool of Jell-O?
Yes.
Oh, this is, you got to go hard. You can't just kiddie pool Jell-O.
I thought that was specifically what the Jell-O pool was.
No, I'm envisioning Olympic size, deep end.
Oh, wow, that's going to cost you a lot.
That's a 30,000 subscribers thing.
Emily just released a shivering spot.
I'm imagining, swimming through 14 feet of ketchup. It's like the vinegar burns. And
oh, it'd be so sweaty.
And you can't open your eyes. That's a blind swim. That is
goggles.
A blind
goggles.
Swim.
I'm with you on the goggles.
You wouldn't be able to see. You
it's
wouldn't
still
be able
opaque.
To see.
You're still
yeah, it's too cloudy, man.
What is your preferred substance to swim in then? We've got French fries, ketchup. I'm just curious.
I like green algae water in Rio.
Yeah, I think that's going on.
Oh, yeah, anything that blooms is the yeah. I get into that.
I saw Emily thinking about it. She's working on it.
Someone sent me like a 3-paragraph message about how they took such pleasure in seeing me swim in French fries and they would like to see me swim in other foods. And I was like,
were you
I'm
not
really
expecting that?
Yeah, no, I wasn't. I don't know why not.
What were you wearing when you swam in these French fries?
Just sports shorts and a bikini top.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, so.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to go with they wanted more
you
liquid.
Ever tried
type.
Fried okra?
I like that they're a health nut. Yeah. Get some okra in there. I'm coming back when I'm seeing some kale.
A lot of people asked for chocolate pudding.
Oh, yeah. That was what I was thinking I would want to swim in. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I could swim in. Yeah, I could see that too. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, again, you don't want to open your eyes, but like if you accidentally get some in your mouth, you're not that mad about it.
I can't believe no one has said like whiskey. Like, come on. Like, that's the.
Don't you die, though? Don't you die if you do that?
Isn't this the we're going to die anyway. All of these are.
I think pudding is less likely to. Unless you, like, if you get stuck in it and aren't able to remove yourself and it starts to fill your lungs, that would be bad.
Right.
Also, but with whiskey, I mean, like, it seems as though the absorption of it through membranes of other parts of your body.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
Oh, delicious. Yeah.
Well,
that is the problem.
Well, I mean, it's going to be a lifeguard.
But what if the pudding's the British style where it's just got fire on top of it?
See, I'm thinking actually Swiss fondue because then it's like a hot tub. I don't know. That's way too hot. Not boiling, but
I feel like if a lifeguard jumps into pudding, he's in trouble too.
You know, right?
Like the one thing about to say swimming in pudding is help yourself first.
Oh, human chain to get somebody out.
Unfortunately for me, it's a human centipede chain. They have to eat their way to you.
Okay, like, but if you let the pudding develop a skin, could you then use like snowshoes to walk across it?
Yeah.
Right?
This is why we all need expendable income because these answers could be found.
I think Esmeralda's head just exploded.
To tweet enough pudding coming because that's what I did. I just tweeted to every fast food restaurant there was, and everybody kept telling me no. But then Steak and Shake was like, "We'll send you some gift cards."
Well, and plus Steak and Shake has the most swimmable fries, I'll bet too, because they're kind of like that stick. They're a little crunchy.
Yeah, all the small sticks. Yeah.
Esmeralda's trying to put all this logic together.
When you were swimming, did you eat them as you went?
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you eat them? We don't have headphones for you, but she's asking if you ate them as you went.
Sorry. This is confusing. Well, basically what happened was I ate a bunch while I was in the car on the way there. And then I did eat a lot like for the video while I was swimming in there. And then as soon as I finished, I was like, I am sweaty and greasy. Like I was covered shiny layer of grease and sweat. And I was like, I can't eat any more of these with good conscience.
I'm helping Emily with the knob. So if you put it into that box where you had it, oh, that sounds so wrong. Mark that for Nikki. And then that silver knob on top should help you out with the volume right there. Is that there? There we go.
Thank you.
At least you didn't swim in Steak and Shake, because that would have been that would
amazing.
No.
Oh, every now and then you find a steak.
I forgot you're from New Zealand. Is that a delicacy there?
I mean, it would never happen, so yes.
Yeah.
I had a New Zealand fan who sent me like a huge box of like treats and stuff. I should actually, if you like that stuff,
give
I should
me all of
you.
It except the whatever yeast extract spreadable.
Yeah, what is that? What is it called? Vegemite?
Marmite.
Marmite.
Vegemite's Australia, Marmite's New Zealand.
I apologize.
Or the reverse, I hate both of them.
I really liked the lemon soda. It was so good.
A Lyft? Did they send you Lyft?
No, it was like PNR or something.
Oh, lemon and pyro. Yeah, world famous in New Zealand.
That's their slogan.
That's typical New Zealand advertising. Like, probably not that big, not that popular, but we did okay.
We're going to go for it.
And now you know why it was important that they had no natural predators for a very long time.
We don't even know. We're like, I don't know. Have you heard of it?
I feel like at some point you should do a show of just the things that people don't like to eat that are ridiculously popular, like Marmite or Vegemite or whatever.
Yeah. Although it would just be me going, just being a grumpy old man, being like, oh, I don't know.
No, I've never tried it, but it doesn't seem appealing. Yeah. Anybody else tried Vegemite?
I studied abroad in How did you do that? It's very thick. Yeah. I was studying abroad in England, and I had a piece of toast, and I was like, I'm going to try this stuff out. It's got to be good, right, if it's a thing.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, I was so upset at a wasted piece of toast. I couldn't.
How much did you put on? Did you put on, like, peanut butter amount?
It was like a little tablespoon. Yeah, it was a little dollop.
Enough to ruin the bread.
Yeast is enough flavor that was too much. So,
Is it supposed to be healthy? Are there supposed to be benefits?
Probably. I mean, everything that tastes disgusting is healthy because you don't want to eat any more of it.
Nutritional yeast is high in B12.
Like nutritional.
That just makes scientific sense.
That's science, guys.
Mm. We've been hanging out with our guests from the Chicago Nerd Comedy Festival, which is running this Thursday through Sunday.
Yes.
At Stage 773. You can call the box office at 773-327-5252. And you go to the website, stage773.com/CNCF shows or hashtag Shy Nerd Fest on Twitter. And tell them, did you find the info for Bill and for Katie?
I have Bill. He is at Bill R. Bullock. B-U-L-L-O-C-K. I couldn't find Locked Into Vacancy or Katie, unfortunately.
I know they have a Facebook page because someone tagged them yesterday.
Yes, so. Locked Into Vacancy. Yeah, you can find them on Facebook at Locked Into Vacancy Entertainment.
And Steven?
You can find me on Twitter at Stelyons. That's S-T-E-L-Y-O-N-S. And message me about Marmite. I think I have a jar. I'll get you some. I'll scoop it out. We'll send it out envelope by envelope.
Not enough to swim in, though, apparently.
Definitely not. No, you'd have to be a tiny, tiny person.
Yes, not going to make it in that. And Emily and Vicky, do you guys want to share some social media?
Yeah. You can find Improvise Jane Austen info at improvisejaneaustin.com or find us on Facebook. And
We've got Twitters and stuff, too. Like, we're the Miss Austens on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. The Miss Austens?
Yeah.
Is it the Miss Austens or Miss Austin?
Just start typing it and it will show up. Yeah.
Thank you.
That's my approach to Twitter. I have no idea. I just start typing things and it shows
and
up.
And if it looks right, I click on it and hope I'm not doing it to the wrong person.
Exactly.
Also, mark that for Nick D. I'm the same way. And by the way, and I think we can do a PSA for people when we ask for websites, that they can get rid of the www. Dot.
Mm.
I want to help people out a little bit.
There should be a www. Dot button on your keyboard.
Yeah, well, if you just start typing in the website, it doesn't matter. It fills it in for you.
Mine's only national, though, so it's an NWW.
Oh, it is?
No.
I was like, look at that. You got me.
I'm sorry.
And for your YouTube videos?
Just type in my name, Vicky Eisenstein, E-I-S-E-N-S-T-E-I-N. And
traditional spelling, yes.
You can also find me all over the internet with the handle Vicky Ironstone, because that's what Eisenstein translates to in English. It's German, and it translates to Ironstone.
So. Ironstone.
Yeah, it's really strong.
I like
that. Type in woman swims in food.
Nope, don't do that.
Whoa. Turn your safe filter off and
they
type
were right
in.
About pudding.
Bikini woman dives in food.
I think everyone should turn their safe filter on. I'm sure there's plenty of people that wish they turned it on for my show. Coming up in just a moment, we're going to talk to Jackson Bird, who is also performing at Chicago Nerd Comedy Festival at Stage 773. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Riding alongside carring tonight is Brandon C. Price, the creator and mastermind behind Vamp. I've been sending people to your show. I don't know if they are showing up, but every time someone says they're looking for something to do, whether it's a CrossFit or, talking to someone at the grocery store.
People do seem to be coming, so thank you.
You're welcome. There was a guy I was doing CrossFit with last week, and he goes, I'm putting my time in now because I really want to get messed up tonight. And I said, then you should definitely go to Vamp.
Yes, it's the best of both worlds.
And he didn't say messed up. So I was like, dude with a plan. I love that. You take all the selfies you need, Jackson Bird. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm just Snapchatting,
Oh, are you I can't do it. I've tried
it. Tried.
I think
you
have to have been born.
I did. Did you see me trying?
Yeah.
What was that?
I think you have to have been born at least in the 90s. I think
at least in the 90s?
Oh. Yeah. I've snapped a couple times.
I've snapped some chats.
Yeah, man.
So here's what I do. I end up so I take a picture and then it says who to send it to. And I'm like, why can't I select all? Do I want to not select everybody?
Well, if you select my story, that goes to everyone.
My story?
Yeah.
So, but when I select everybody, that means I'm chatting with them?
There's a select everybody?
No, I mean if I go through and manually check people.
Yeah. Which is actually what I do for my job as a communications director, because that way everyone annoyingly gets push notifications when we're trying to tell them stuff.
Oh.
It's great.
So you don't get a push notification if you just do my story?
Yeah.
Oh, so if I, so then I don't mind clicking everybody's name. Sorry, sorry for pushing that to you.
Oh, I thought they were personally to me.
I'm sorry.
Actually, oh,
I thought that was like up until about a week ago. Margaret was like, no, I'm sending these to all these people. Like, yeah. It's not just you.
I'm like, I've had that happen too. I'm like, oh, I feel so special. And they're like, no, I sent this to like 10 people.
That's so depressing.
Dang.
Oh. Am I ruining it for people with my naivete of when it comes the Snapchat world?
No. I mean, I don't use it. I tried it for a bit and I don't use it. And now Instagram has it. And so I've used that a couple of times.
What do you mean Instagram has it?
Instagram stories. Does stories now. Yeah. Which is great because I don't have to have another app that I have to open up now and add a thing to. So.
It is different, but yeah.
It's not as good, but I don't care. I'm old. And well, I'm happy to be a part of something.
If Instagram makes it, because they tried to push direct messaging for so long, but if they integrate direct messaging with the stories thing, then Snapchat really has very little point at that point. It's Facebook going, you know what, we got to figure this out. Because they own Instagram or whatever.
I mean, I agree.
Direct messaging has been working for me on Instagram. For some reason, over the last like month, whenever I've gotten drunk late at night, my brain has decided that just randomly direct messaging people I follow on Instagram is a great way to make friends. And I've actually made two friends. One of them lives in Tennessee. The other one ended up living down the block from me. So now we hang out. Yeah.
What a wonderful story.
Isn't it weird? Yeah. Like I don't know why I was even following this dude. And then I just messaged him. And then we like talked for a while on direct messaging, figured out we lived near each other and we're both insomniacs. And now we hang out.
Oh, I was about to say, I would never like hang out with someone that I just met online. And then I realized that's how we met, sort of.
Yes.
You just emailed me and I trusted you enough.
Right. And we even have a best friend name now. Jackson and I don't. We're working on it.
Oh, I was like, what?
Yeah. Oh, I haven't told you about it?
Oh,
it's
wow.
It's Jacody.
Oh, boy.
Jackson, you're performing at the Chicago Nerd Comedy Festival.
I am. And, I am not just here to tell you how to use Snapchat.
I will take that as well. Whatever you need to tell us.
He's actually one of our headliners.
Wonderful. What night are you performing?
I am performing Thursday night.
Friday night.
Friday night. I've
heard it both ways.
I don't even know what day of the week
it's
it is now.
Fine.
Yeah. That is my main Will It Waffle Live is Friday night.
That's right. John C. Craig was telling me about this the other night.
Yes.
Tell us about Will
John
It Waffle.
Oh, well, Will It
John
Waffle.
C. Craig. Should I not call him John C. Craig?
John C. Craig?
Funny.
Hello, I'm John C. Craig.
Does he have a C in the middle, or am I just imagining that?
I think John Craig is his name.
It's Brandon C. Price. I did this to someone one night when you weren't here. I gave him a middle initial of C as well.
I'm sure he'd be honored.
Yeah, John Craig.
I think part of the problem with John Craig is he also goes by JC, and so I think you're connecting the C's.
Yeah.
Let's give me every excuse possible, and I will accept it.
I am here to help you,
John will answer to most things, though.
That is true.
It's got a lot going on. Tell us about Waffle This. Will This Waffle?
Will It Waffle?
Will It Waffle?
Yes.
Waffle This, Jackson.
You know, I
waffle
get that
me
a lot.
This.
Will It Waffle?
Yeah, so Will It Waffle is my primary YouTube show where it's not science. It's not a cooking show. It's barely comedy. I just throw things on a waffle iron, usually food items, and just see what happens.
Man, it's literally Will
Sean's
It Waffle.
Got questions.
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah. That's cool.
Sean's like, you don't want a waffle? What do you want a waffle? Come on, you got an idea for a waffle? Is there something you want a waffle? No.
Army man.
Oh, don't tell me you're a pancake
army
guy.
Army man. Oh, he's a what?
Pancake.
He's a
guy.
Pancake man.
All right, then. What would you pancake?
I'm Sean Pancake Man.
although there is a restaurant in the south suburbs that makes a wonderful sweet potato. Waffle.
Mm, that does sound good.
Are you going for sweet, wonderful stuff, or is this chaos on a waffle maker?
Oh, chaos on a waffle maker is a good tagline. I waffled pumpkin for Halloween one year, and it tasted a lot like a sweet potato waffle.
Oh, there you go.
I think, so.
What, did you mix it with something, or just the innards of a potato?
I did two different versions. One was just straight up the innards, didn't even take the seeds out, just lumped it all on there. And then the other was kind of the, I forgot what you call it, but like, you know, the gourd. Mm-hmm. Hard shell of it. It's a gourd. Pumpkins are gourds, right?
It's a squash.
That's totally fair.
Yeah.
I think that can we take suggestions from our audience after the news?
Yeah, totally.
312-981-7200. Again, 312-981-7200. Can we pick a winner to give them something and that you will also waffle on Friday? Can we do that at all?
If it is something I can get my hands on for
Friday. Well, you have to pick it. We have to pick the winner that you think you can get your hands on.
Oh,
also.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That'd be great.
312-981-7200 for a gift card from Lou Malnati. It's a $25 gift card to the best pizza in the Chicagoland area. Tell us what you want waffled. Will It Waffle by Jackson Bird at Stage 773 for the Chicago Nerd Comedy Festival running Thursday through Saturday. Sunday. See, you were all excited. I got it wrong at the end.
Well, I mean, it is through Saturday, and then the workshops and panels are on Sunday.
Yes, but so that's included as part of the adventure.
I was trying to help you out.
I appreciate that. And so that's going to be Thursday through Sunday. Go to stage773.com for more information. It's the CNCF shows and also hashtag Shy Nerdfest. Oh, and I haven't mentioned this yet. Where is Stage 773? It is at 1225 West Belmont Avenue. It's right there at, I always have to say it's Belmont and Stage 773, in case you're wondering. It's time now for our news. Again, 312-981-7200. Will it waffle? What do you want Jackson Bird to waffle? And I heard a good one from Brendan C. Price, by the way. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. This is two nights in a row of complete, I fall down, I think, on the job. And we've neglected to make sure that Garrett, who's celebrating his birthday, was in studio. Your microphone's on. Is that okay? Will you come up close to it? You've been waiting a while in that green room. That's got to be so frustrating.
A little.
No, not a little. I'm going to go with a whole lot. Do you like waffles?
Not really.
Not really? Not. What do you mean? That's okay. What do you prefer besides waffles?
Pancakes and eggs.
He's another pancakes man, just like Sean, our producer.
I don't dislike pancakes.
I like eggs.
Just for the record, and eggs are great. Yeah. Any breakfast food, I just love breakfast.
Do you like breakfast foods?
He really does.
Yes. What birthday are we celebrating? This is going to be the entire, and we have Jackson with us from the Chicago Nerd Festival, but this is the entire Garrett half hour. Just want you to know.
Nice.
What are your favorite meals? Do you like, see, because if I could have ice cream with every meal, like if I have ice cream before the meal, that would be so much better.
Yeah.
You know why? Life's short, dessert first. I'm not encouraging that. Mom's not like, that's not okay. Does your mom use a waffle maker at home?
No.
Have you ever seen like in a hotel, like they have them like on the buffet and you can like pour all the batter in?
Yeah.
But you don't like eating it, but it is kind of fun to make them, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah, because like flipping it over, I don't know, there's like a certain amount of like, ha, I did that to it, that experience. So this is my friend Jackson who is, he's doing this comedy show. They're going to be waffling things. Will it waffle? So do you have any ideas of things that you would like to see melted into a waffle maker?
A pizza.
A pizza.
Yeah.
That's how I think that. See, now then you would like that. If someone said, I'm going to give you a pizza waffle, that's a good experience. Now, how do you waffle a pizza, Jackson?
Well, I experimented with one once. And when you just put a slice on there, it's not great because the cheese kind of disintegrates. So what you got to do, you fold it over, or maybe put one on top of another, make sort of a calzone almost.
Right.
Yeah. I think I might try waffling some deep dish while I'm here.
Do you like thin crust or deep dish pizza?
Deep dish.
Do you like deep dish better? Yeah. I can see that.
Chicago.
Yeah.
Chicago.
Yeah.
We're going to take a call. There's a listener on the line who has an idea for something to waffle. Let's see what he's got. All right. All right, Garrett, one second. Hey, Mark, how are you doing?
Hi, how are you?
Very well. What would you like to waffle?
A pair of flip-flops.
Oh. Garrett,
waffle, flip-flop.
What do you think would happen to a pair of flip-flops if you put them in a waffle maker?
They'll melt.
I would think so. Yeah. Mark, is that what you're going for? Is a big waffle? Now, is it because you hate flip-flops? Why do you want to waffle flip-flops?
Well, that's what political candidates accuse each other. He's waffling. He's flip-flopping.
We are marrying some ideas there, aren't we? Yeah. Oh, my God. So have you waffled flip-flops?
I have not. And, you know, there are rare few non-food items that I will do, but I think flip-flops is actually a good contender because they're like a perfect kind of consistency and size that they'll actually fit on the waffle iron and maybe actually do something exciting.
Right.
Maybe it'll marshmallow. Like, maybe it'll just right, grow.
It'll like puff up like that.
Yeah.
Are you getting some ideas, Garrett? Hold on the line, Mark, because we'll see if you win. We are giving a free pizza to one of our listeners. We're also giving a birthday pizza to our friend Garrett, who's in the studio. We have a Lou Malnati's gift card. Since you like deep dish, I think we're going to have to hook you up with that as well. And how about a gift card from Apt Electronics?
Okay.
All right, then. Our friend Steve Shapiro will help you out there for sure. I want to apologize to you and your mom. How were you planning on staying this late? No, you had no idea. I will make it worth your while. The best I can, because there's nothing I can do to bring back the time. You know that you were out there. We have Jasmine on the line. Hey, Jasmine, how are you doing?
Enjoying the last month before I have to go back to school.
Are you enjoying the last month before school? Now remember, you've got to. You know what I do during these months, Jasmine? Is I take mental pictures of the summer. Because you're going to need that.
I have a whole lot of pictures on my iPad. Just a few weeks ago, I went to see the Tall Ships.
You did. Did you have any favorites?
The I got to see this huge. It was like a real pirate ship. It had cannons on it.
Ooh!
So that was pretty awesome.
Did they fire any of the cannons?
No, we didn't get to ride because it was too much money. We just like got on, walked around, and in my case, touched stuff.
Right.
And then just got back off.
See, that's pretty cool. See, I would want to touch everything too, whether or not vision is an issue. I would want to, because the thing is, like, whether it's the cannons or like the really cool accessories on a. Have you ever been on a ship like that, Garrett?
No.
But do you,
just in case the kid Garrett is wondering, if you ever seen in the pirate movies that big stereotype wheel, they actually have that.
Oh, the big huge like that.
Like the wheel that has like spokes coming out of it.
Are the handles wood or do they have brass on them too?
It felt like wood.
It felt like all wood. So I don't know why I imagined brass, but that's that's my own mental picture of it. Jasmine, what do you want to waffle?
I would want a waffle cheese curds.
Cheese curds. Just one big cheese curd waffle.
Because I went to my mom took me to Wisconsin Dells a few weeks ago, and I tried a lot of the fried cheesy, I'm going to be fat when school starts back. And cheese curds are probably the best thing ever, especially when they're warm.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that would be kind of gooey. Have you tried to do just like one thing of cheese?
I have not done too much cheese because I am lactose intolerant. But
it's not about you, Jackson.
I'm actually, sometimes... I literally just Googled cheese curds. To be like, what is this?
Oh, have you never seen cheese curds?
I've seen them on Google now.
Yeah. Oh, being in the Midwest has been very difficult for him.
Oh, where are you from originally?
Well, I grew up in Texas, but I've lived in New York for quite a while.
All right.
Excuse me, Patty?
Of course, Jasmine.
If you don't mind me asking, since there's, in your words, a lot of nerds in the studio.
Not my words, their words.
Is it nerdy that I'm kind of obsessed with Michael Phelps right now?
Yeah, I think being a nerd means being unironically enthusiastic about something. And if you want to be enthusiastic about Michael Phelps, go for it. He's rocking it.
Follow your bliss.
Unironically enthusiastic.
Yep.
Jasmine, do you have anything else you're unironically enthusiastic about?
Like, what are you...
I know, like, is there something that you know so much about inside and out that you can talk about it?
Yeah. I'm in love with this show, anime show called Dragon Ball Z. And this one character called Cell, I like him. He's cool.
Everybody in the studio nodded and said, oh.
Yeah, well, I mean, but my favorite Dragon Ball Z character is Trunks, which is a problem if yours is Cell, because that's a conflict of interest. but
Garrett,
respect to Cell.
Garrett, do you have any favorites?
I'm more into Pokemon.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
Are you playing that new game that's been going around?
No.
You're not playing Pokemon Go? You like the card game?
He's a purist.
Ooh, I didn't know there were any purists anymore. I'm impressed. So you consider that to be something that you know everything about? You're very enthusiastic.
Yeah. Sorry, I promise this is the last thing.
No, Jasmine, you're fine.
I'm kind of wondering, since there is a kid in the station right now, what's it like in there? I'm just getting.
Ooh, yes, describe it for us.
A little smaller than I expected.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of windows.
Yep, mm-hmm. It's a showcase studio.
Probably a lot of buttons, too.
I think that Garrett should try every chair in the studio, though, because I go through to see which one's my favorite. As you notice, we have all different designs. So you can pull that, go over to that blue one, too, if you want to try that.
I think you
should
try every button.
Every button. Oh, we could totally do that. Okay, when we come back. No. I have a touch screen that, that Garrett can do the hotkeys on and see some different stuff. I don't know if I have any sound effects, but we can find out.
Patty?
Yes, Jasmine.
By the way, before I go, I've been thinking about this for a while. I've heard you talk about this thing called burlesque on your show before.
Yes.
Am I too young to know about that? Or is it because there's a kid in the room?
Sean, I think that's a fantastic question. I don't know how the levels to which each one of us can describe it. Would you like to, Cody? Okay. I can Google it if you prefer.
Yeah, I mean, burlesque is basically a cabaret variety entertainment that
highlights the body.
That highlights the physical form. Yeah.
So it's adult dancing.
Sean.
Patty and I both tilted our heads in the exact same angle.
Is it adult? I think there are levels of it that are adult.
Yeah. But it doesn't have to be, and I think it's not what the connotation in adult dancing would be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know? So, to that specific term, adult dancing. Yeah, it's definitely considered more of an art and is definitely more focused on I would say empowerment and also performance and the show aspect mm-hmm. of it.
And its origins were more sort of satire too, because mm-hmm. it was an exaggeration of storytelling, and it could be also like a literary or dramatic.
Yeah.
I'm reading the definition.
It's got a bit of clown in it, I would say too.
So it's not all about looking pretty.
No, because I've seen some that are like sci-fi and are actually some that are like horror burlesque. You know, we can do like, whether it's zombie, there's zombie burlesque.
Yeah. Well, we have Plan 9 Burlesque, which is doing nerdy burlesque on Thursdays mm-hmm. and also during the Saturday after party.
There you go.
Yeah.
So that sounds cool. And cheese curd waffles were my decision.
Sure. Okay. Cheese curd waffle. I'm taking, you know what? I think I have enough. I'm going to give, just go ahead and give them both a gift card. It's Lumel Nadi's.
I don't want to get in trouble. You can use that. Like, I don't want to get in trouble with my grandmother or anything.
Oh, you don't want to get in trouble? Okay, then we won't send you anything, Jasmine. Because I just learned that you're not supposed to be calling us right now. And you and Garrett are up way late. And I apologize to both of you for keeping you awake.
Well, I'm 16, so.
Well, I sense that you're still, if you don't want mail coming to your house from WGN Radio. All right, then. Jasmine, thank you for the cheese curd suggestion. And Mark will take that $25 gift card to Lou Malnati's. Hang on the line, and Sean will get your information. Go to loumalnati's.com for some of the best pizza in the Chicagoland area with 42 locations all over the place. Plus, you can order it and have it delivered anywhere in the country. I mean, not like hot, Garrett. It would be frozen. Be weird if you, like, ordered a pizza in California. And you're like waiting for
that's the dream.
Estimated time of delivery, 3 days. More with this after this quick break. And I'm going to pull up my hotkeys and see. And I know that sounds weird. It's the buttons that we use for, like, do you want to do music or like sound effects? Do you want to play? What do you want to play around with on my board?
Both.
Okay, I'm going to pull. Let's see if I can make that work. More with our guest. We have Garrett celebrating his birthday. And again, my apologies over and over and over again. It's 2 days in a row that I've had to do this. But that's what happens sometimes.
Life happens.
And I know, but it shouldn't happen to Garrett. More after this. Well, you can happen too, but not to Garrett.
I totally understand that.
More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. And joining me in studio, can you push this button? Can you hit that red button that says on over guest four right there? This one right there. Just push that one on. And that turns on Cody Melcher's microphone. Say hello to us.
Hi.
And tell us a little bit about why you're here tonight.
I am here to talk about the Chicago Nerd Comedy Festival that is happening at Stage 773 on Belmont Avenue this weekend, Thursday through Sunday, August 11th through 14th.
Excellent. That was it all ages, by the way, if Garrett wanted to go?
There are definitely shows that are all ages. There's a rating system online if you go to stage773.com/CNCF shows. We have the rating system there, so you can kind of pick and choose however you feel. But yeah, we've got a lot of shows that are definitely for all ages.
Excellent. And will you push, I think he's on the guest number two, that one right there. Yeah. Let's see. Is that yours, Jackson?
I believe so. I saw
Excellent.
A red light come
Thank
on.
Thank you, Garrett. Well done. See, so when we push these buttons on my board, this is kind of it looks like a control panel for a plane, doesn't it? A little bit.
It's a little bit intimidating.
Yeah.
So that is Jackson Bird. Tell us a little bit about your how we can find you on social media and your videos on YouTube.
Yeah, on YouTube, basically type in my name, Jackson Bird or Will It Waffle, and you'll find me on there. And everywhere else, I am Jack is not a bird.
Wait, Jack is not a bird?
Yes.
All right, then. Okay.
He is not.
He's performing this Friday night at 10 o'clock. At Stage 773 for Will It Waffle.
Friday at 7. He's performing Friday at 7, and then he's also on several other shows on Saturday. He is on Geek Show, which is Aaron Amendola's nerdy, talky variety show. It's a talk show. He's also going to be a guest on Just the Facts, which we were talking about earlier with Stephen Lyons. So a lot of it's all on Saturday. And then he's also going to be moderating some panels and teaching a YouTube workshop on Sunday that will be a way for people who want to get better at YouTube or just start off on YouTube and learning how to make videos and also learn how to do YouTube better.
Yep.
Do you YouTube, Garrett?
Sometimes.
Have you ever put a video on YouTube?
No.
Me neither. I don't know how to do that stuff.
Well, you
could
come to my workshop.
Okay, I should come to your workshop. There you go. So in addition to the many technological things I can't do, I just recently learned how to use this. These are my hotkeys. So this is a touch screen. So when you touch something, the listeners can, you'll hear it through your headphones too. So you can pick, see how these sounds? Is there anything that looks kind of interesting that you might want to see what it sounds like? You can push any of those blue buttons. Just anything. Oh, you. There you go.
All right.
There you go. That, now, I always worry about horses when you go horseback riding. Pick any of the buttons. Right? You can play a whole bunch of them if you want. They're quick. Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice tap dancing.
Yeah. There you go. That's nice.
And then if you want to stop it, you can just hit it again and it'll stop. Boom.
That's some talent.
Anything else you like? Get them. See, that's always my biggest fear is to, like, do stand-up comedy. Can you grab some, are there headphones over there for Grandma? Grandma's hanging out. I don't want to just call you Grandma. What's your name?
Jean.
Jean is hanging out, too, so I want to make sure you're able to hear the sound effects that we're playing here. All right, go ahead and pick anything else. Let's see what we got here. Oh, it's a different rim shot. Oh, there you go. Yeah. Anything else you like? You can do them all. We got time. We're celebrating Garrett's birthday, and I love the sound effects. Do you want to, let me know when you want to try music. Do you want to switch to music?
Yeah.
Yeah? All right. So I'm going to go through here. So I go to, this is my index button. Those of you watching on WGNradio.com live stream, so we can push, this is my music choices. You want to pick one of those buttons and see which one, what we have there. So there's some of my, do you know, recognize any of those? Or do you want to play any of them? See what they, if you don't recognize them, maybe it's even more fun to learn.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice.
Oh, everybody's happy.
Smooth.
It's a little T-Rex. You like that? Do you play any musical instruments?
I'm going to play the clarinet this year.
You're going to play the clarinet? Is that by choice?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
A lot of musicians start on the clarinet. That's one of my favorite instruments. It's a beautiful instrument. So if you want to stop the song, you go ahead and you are DJ right now. You play anything you want. I like that one.
Okay. You got good taste, Garrett.
There we go. And we can also go through different letters, too. Anything you want. There we go. Ooh, yeah.
Oh.
A little rush.
We're getting a little funky. All right.
Gene, do you listen to any other shows throughout the day on WGN? Do you listen to any of the other shows? Yeah, you can go ahead and grab it.
Sometimes in the morning. And, of course, all Cub games.
All Cub games? Mm. Well, here, I have. We can go through the index if you want to hear some of the stuff from Steve Cochran. So do you listen to Steve Cochran's show?
Sometimes. I'm not usually up at this time of the morning.
I like that she said morning.
Is there anything? By the way, Garrett, stop me if you see anything you want to check out. Like Nick D's audio. He has a lot of good stuff. Good. There you go. Let's see what the other things are. Mm-hmm. Music bumps. Here we go. Press anything you want.
Oh, nice.
So one of the reasons that we have this screen is sometimes music can set the tone to a show. And by the way, I don't have to turn that off. I can leave it down while we're talking like that. And you go ahead and press anything you want while we talk. We set the tone sometimes. It's sort of a mood setter, or sometimes it reflects something we were talking about. Press it again because I think it didn't take. There it is. More Red Hot Chili. You a fan of Red Hot Chili Peppers? No? See, now, I don't know a lot of music. So can you do me a favor and press... I don't know Rob Zombie. Do you? I'm not a bit... You don't know... Do you like Rob Zombie? Is it bad?
No, I'm aware of Rob Zombie. Yeah. That's why I was laughing.
What is that? What's it called?
Oh, a theremin.
A theremin.
Maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, it sounds like a theremin.
I don't know if it was a theremin.
Yeah, a little bit.
Sort of a bit more synthetic.
A little more synthetic.
Yeah, it was probably a synth.
And then you can... there you go. A little R.E.M. Mm-hmm. Are there any other things you want to check out? Because go ahead. Any other music? We are celebrating Garrett's birthday, and we made him wait for an extraordinary amount of time in the green room. We didn't know he was here, and I apologize. I wish we had like some stuff to give you besides we got gift cards from Apt Electronics and a Lou Malnati's gift card to celebrate your birthday. Oh, yeah.
Good timing.
He's got the gift.
That's perfect. I got to tell you something else we do a lot every night. Garrett, you don't ever crank call anybody, do you?
Not yet.
Not yet? What do you mean, not yet? It sounds like you have plans.
Yeah.
Who do you imagine crank calling? You can crank call this show all you want. I think you've earned that right.
Yeah. Yeah, save this number.
That's awesome. So what are you doing? What else have you done to celebrate your birthday?
I'm going to Six Flags with my friend soon.
Cool. Do you have a favorite ride there? Mm-hmm. You don't want to?
The Goliath.
I've never been on the Goliath. I heard it's a good one. I've not been on the Raging Bull. Do you like the wooden ones, like the Viper and American Eagle?
Yeah.
And how about the water park? Do you do that?
I've never gone.
You never? That's all right. Because who wants to be wet when you're going on a ride? Go ahead, push anything.
Hey. He loves comedy.
I like that he likes the rim shot. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's good.
I kind of like this one, too. That is a big cat.
Oh, I was like,
yeah, we all thought it. Yeah.
I have no idea. I thought it was like a submarine motorcycle. I have no idea.
Oh. Now, Garrett's letting you know he's coming through the studio on his bike.
There you
That's
go.
It. Going yeah. right through.
How or, about or the... clown.
It's exactly.
A big ding-dong.
A big ding-dong. See, when you have one of those, if you have this, you might need this, right?
That was a good timer.
See, you can combine any of them, too. That's what I by the way, try this one right here. Will you try that one for me? That's what I sound like when I drink a Slurpee. That's John Craig having his...
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, at the same time. Look at that, on top of each other. Yeah, this is our board that we try to... And I don't use this as much, because I mostly use it this way. I mostly sit here and go, I wonder what this one sounds like.
Yeah.
How about this one? You want to try that one? I kind of like that. See, it's the goofiness on Pretty Late. There you go. Not too bad. So when do you start school again?
On Monday.
Oh, you start on Monday. What is your birthday? Did it already pass, or is it coming up?
It already passed.
It, while you were waiting in the green room? How long? You actually celebrated a whole nother birthday. Exactly. Wah, wah. I know. I kind of wish I was able to like put you on the next show as well, but it's late, and Grandma Jean's been hanging out. Where do you live?
In Mundelein.
Okay, let's get them home. Esmeralda, how are the roads to Mundelein?
Clear.
Please.
And if instruction.
Do not get in this family's way. They've been here for a while, and they've got a ride back. All right, Gary, is there anyone you want to say hi to before we go?
No.
Will you be able to find forgiveness in your heart for tonight?
You will?
Yes.
I appreciate that. Thank you. And we look forward to having you back. And that's also appropriate. Don't forget to go to the Chicago Nerd Comedy Festival this weekend at Stage 773. Everyone right now at your houses, just say, Happy birthday, Garrett! And we appreciate that. And Jackson Bird, we look forward to finding out what you waffle, including, I believe, flip-flops.
Yeah, I think we'll be going with flip-flops.
I think we have to do it.
Yeah.